United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so far as to. So, as long as we're on top of all this and we are clear and strong, but not over the top, I think we'll be okay.
For more information, go to businessjournaldaily.com. I'm Michael Moliterno.
Bosch appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power and Associates. You can find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers by visiting your local Bosch dealer for special promotions. J.D. Power and Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $21.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
At the Law Office of J.M. Shade, we focus on estate planning for the elderly and people with special needs. We'll help you find a way to pay for long-term health care, write your will, and set up a trust to avoid probate. Estate planning is essential for everyone. Don't delay and leave your family to deal with the stress after you're gone. Show them you care. Call us today, 866-606-6187. That's 866-606-6187. 6187, jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
Fit family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number here is 347-945-5229. You guys know it's hump day, and today's Wednesday. And in studio, I have Styx here. Hey, Styx, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tracy.
Here on the 27th of a snowy day of March 2013 in the Mahoning Valley in northeast Ohio, which is a terrible thing to say out loud.
Did you see the prosecuting attorney over there in Butler County, Pennsylvania, put out an indictment on Punxsutawney Phil?
Actually, I think the Ohio Prosecutors Association did the same thing here. We got to do something about this, because I'm telling you, my feet are having withdrawals. It's time for spring. I need to take off my shoes and put on flip-flops, and I can't do it because we got snow on the ground. I'm still wearing a hat.
Well, I wear hats all the time, but I'm missing my T-shirts.
Oh, I'm wearing hats. I got coats. I got wool on still. My body can't handle wool.
I just want the grass to get green.
No, grass means it has to grow.
Well, grow and get green.
Yeah, grass. You bet. No, green grass means it needs cut.
That means it needs cut.
I don't mind cutting it. You know, really.
Hey, guys, the voice that you hear right now, I love his voice. His name is Clark A. Jones, and he is the Mahoning County Emergency Management and Communications Agency. He's the director there.
I am, Tracy, and thank you.
Oh, thank you for coming in. Hey, turn him up a little bit for me. He's on three. Thanks a lot, Stick.
I'm going up a little, huh?
There you go.
How about that?
That's good. He's in studio with us, and we're going to talk about emergency management, not prepper sticks.
See, where I live, we're always emergency managed.
Just because you're a prepper. You're always looking for, you know, you have a bomb shelter in your house, too, don't you?
No.
You do?
No.
Come on. Tell the truth.
My house is a bomb shelter. Hey, I saw that out there. They're selling those missile silos out in Kansas, those old ICBM sites.
To do what? Are people buying them?
They're turning them into houses, really nice houses.
You know what?
Missile site house. Something doesn't ring near.
Oh,
it's protected.
I suppose.
Maybe.
Well.
Somewhat.
It's an idea. It's innovative.
They're cheap, for one thing.
Cheap
like 30, like 30 grand.
Well, that's not cheap when you can buy a whole house here in Mahoning Valley for 10.
10, 5, 4, 3,
best
2.
Offer. Listen, when you have people nailing stuff on telephone poles written in Sharpie that says, house for sale, here's a number, or best offer, you know something's wrong.
Yeah.
It's changing. Hey, Clark, how are you, darling?
I'm well, dear. Thank you, man.
Thank you for coming.
What a pleasure to be with you
this
morning.
It's a pleasure to have you here with me this afternoon. We are here. It's lunchtime. And we're going to talk with you about emergency management because I think it's important. I do. And maybe I'm a little wacky, but I think you should be prepared even if nothing ever happens.
Well, I won't comment on the wacky, but I will comment on what you've mentioned directly or indirectly, and that is being prepared. And that's what we want to try to accomplish today.
What does that mean?
Well, be ready before, quote, it happens. You know, you can't reverse the acts of nature when they're upon you, but you can be ready to sustain the safety of yourself, your family, and your loved ones. And it's not as difficult as it sounds, but it does take some dedication and some moving forward with certain things in mind. And I hope during the course of today's discussion we'll be able to present these in an orderly way. It's just important to be prepared. Remember the Boy Scouts always said that? Be prepared.
Be prepared. Actually, I had them on here last week, and they're still teaching the same thing, and I think they're some of the brightest kids in the world.
They are, and they're dedicated to what they do. That is a great program for our youth.
Yes. It's a great program for our youth for the future.
Oh.
It's prepared. I mean, they learn prepared.
Mm-hmm. Bring it on. That's what we need. I'd like to talk a little bit, with your permission, whenever you're ready, about what Mahoning County Emergency Management is.
Okay, you can do that.
I can do that.
You can do whatever you want.
Well, I can.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
Mahoning County Emergency Management is an agency within the county government structure. I report directly to the Board of Mahoning County Commissioners. I in essence, have three bosses. As the commissioners move in and out, they elect a president of their group, and I report directly to the president. This year it's Carol Remedio Righetti.
Okay.
And Carol is a wonderful boss, and I say that with wind from my heart. You're going to go on me, okay?
I know Carol. She's a good girl.
She's a good lady. Each of the 88 counties in the state of Ohio have an emergency management agency.
Was that always?
To the best of my knowledge, as far back, well, I can't say always, but certainly within the realm of the last several decades. Been known as a lot of things over the years. Some of our old-timers will recognize the term civil defense and remember when we were out looking for potential bombers from Russia and we had stands built to watch aircraft and follow aircraft.
Oh, wow.
And people had license plates that said civil defense. I have in my archives and some of the things that my predecessor left me some very, very neat memoirs of those years when it was civil defense. Through the years, it's evolved into the term emergency management. The state of Ohio's emergency management program reaches out to each of the counties, and they do a variety of things that we'll talk about. First of all, they provide the basis for funding for each of the 88 counties through a number of grants that we currently have or have had, and I'll explain it, and primarily what is called the Emergency Management Planning Grant, Tracy. The county receives an award each year annually to fund the local efforts, and our goal is to prepare for, respond to, and recover from any incident in Mahoning County that would tax the resources of our dedicated first responders, wherein they would need assistance from our agency, pushing it on up the line, the state emergency management agency, moving it through the governor's office if we would need to declare an emergency in this area, so that two things happen, two very important things, Tracy. The first of which is resources from outside of the area would come and help. It may be food, it may be water, it may be light trailers, it may be casualty assistance, it may be the coroner's offices. There are a variety of things. And secondly, it opens the door to state and federal funding as we begin to recover, because everybody always asks, who's going to pay for this? And we certainly know that there is a method. It may not be very expedient in present government, but it's there, and eventually we will recover financially from an infrastructure standpoint.
Now, let me ask you this. What is an emergency? I need to ask that question. It sounds like a stupid question.
No, it's not.
But what is declared as an emergency?
Well, we need to look at it from several different aspects. If you're having chest pain at your own home and you call 911, that's a clear emergency to you. Categorize that as a medical emergency. Secondly, the average auto accident where there's injuries is an emergency to the folks involved in that event. It means a deployment of some first responder, emergency medical services, the fire department, the law enforcement. So categorically, that's an emergency. Having a population of any size deprived of electrical service is an emergency, because most people are not prepared to sustain for any length of time without a backup power source. And now you're getting into preparedness that we can talk a little more about. But I think the term emergency is as broad as it is long. Anything that disrupts the continuity of lifestyle, imposes injury on somebody, or results in the activation of our safety forces is probably an emergency. It just happens. We look at it from our office in the perspective of not the single events that transpire every day in Mahoning County, but those issues. For instance, a flood. A flood becomes an emergency. A hazardous material spill that lifts into the atmosphere and requires the resources of our county's hazmat team is an emergency. And they're clearly.
So when we had, I think we had a spill out on 680,
mm-hmm,
a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. The truck?
Yes.
Yeah, right, the 7-Eleven?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was declared because of the chemical reaction that could be out there.
Exactly.
That could affect a major body of people all at one time.
It certainly could. If the chemicals become airborne, if the chemicals dissipate into our water source, if the chemicals flow backwards on pavement into the roadway, there are just a lot of things that particular accident that were handled very well. The incident commander was John O'Neill, chief of the Youngstown Fire Department, did a great job. Supported by our hazmat team. Our hazmat team in Mahoning County is active as needed. It's an all-volunteer organization. Roughly,
is it really?
Yes, it is. Roughly 25 people on the hazmat team who are firefighters in different fire departments throughout the county. When the hazmat team is activated, they're sent a page. They respond to the emergency management building on Industrial Road, saddle up in their trucks times two, and respond to the scene.
Wow.
The hazmat truck in Mahoning County is plus or minus about $1.5 million in equipment to detect and stop the spread of a hazardous material. Something as simple as cat litter, which may be good as an oil dry to pick up that type of chemical, to complicated things under the category of chemical and biological warfare. And as we go through what we do at the EMA, remind me to bring that out again, how the hazmat team is so closely interfaced with fire and the emergency management agency.
Okay.
So
how well, because the majority of the firefighters in the Mahoning Valley are volunteers, how well are these guys trained?
From a fire suppression standpoint, second to none. Not that they get a lot of fires, but they're an aggressive group of young and middle-aged and sometimes older gentlemen. Each of the fire departments in the area is either a full-time department like the city of Youngstown or Boardman or Austintown, or, as you pointed out, the numbers slide to the volunteer side. Our rural areas, even areas that are congested population-wise, such as Poland, is still a volunteer department.
I know that. That's amazing to me.
I believe Sebring is an all-volunteer fire department, isn't
Sebring
it?
Sebring is. The village is a volunteer fire department, a very good one. We'll put a pitch in there for Chief
No,
Chief
hold on.
Wait,
hold on. Wait, when you say volunteer.
Yes.
Do we really mean volunteer? I mean, you know.
Well.
How does that. Hold on. We just slow us up. I'm confused.
Okay.
Some of them get paid per call, don't they?
They do.
But they sign up and they say, well, listen, I've got this kind of background, and they go for technical training or fire response training,
mm-hmm.
and they go through the vigorous physical requirements to make sure that they can do it and handle it, and the mental aptitude, and then they go and work as, you know, whatever.
Now let's take Poland. If I may.
You can use Poland.
I can use Poland.
I'll talk about Poland bad.
Take Poland, please. According to Tracy.
go give Poland a plug. They haven't pulled me over in a while.
Well, I'm sort of retired as a Poland fire captain, so I.
Oh, then you understand that.
I can relate to that. They do just what you said, Tracy. They may make application to the Joint Fire District in Poland. They get sent for the first round of training, which is generally at our vocational school out in Canfield. Retired Chief Andy Frost from the Austintown Fire Department is currently running that program. They take their basic 36 or 38 hours. They've already pre-qualified with a physical exam, so either he or she has been through the doctor side of things. They're brought back into the fire department then and continue to do in-service training on a regular basis. Fire departments today are unique. Because of good suppression, because of good building standards, and because of an alert public, structure fires are at a minimum in the suburban areas.
Okay.
And that is because, again, of good building codes, a combination of things. Suppression becomes something that firefighters, and I say this carefully, sort of look forward to because you take all of the training and you don't get the hands-on experience except on a very infrequent basis. Volunteers at home, he or she's got all her training, she's got her fire gear and a pager. Time of the alarm, the pager goes off, that individuals make their way to the fire station, they man the fire apparatus at the respective station, and they respond and do the suppression side of things. Amazingly now, and this is another good point, about 86-87% of the calls that a fire department has are EMS calls, emergency medical services. There are far more people who become ill and call into our 911 system than there are calls into the 911 system for structural fires. There's still a fair amount of vehicle fires. During the springtime, some of the departments that have some wildlands get the grass fires and so forth. But basically, the majority of calls are EMS-oriented, about 86 to 87%. And that, That's consistent with most of Mahoning County. Paid departments that run EMS, again, they have a high volume of EMS responses. Austintown, Boardman, so forth, that are full-time departments where their trucks are manned, people are at the stations, still run those high EMS numbers.
Now, where do the private ambulances fall into this mix of public, private, for-profit?
Private sector handles way better than half of the EMS transports in the county. The city of Youngstown is contracted with one private provider, so all 911 calls that come into the 911 center for the city of Youngstown for EMS are relayed to that provider, and they respond to, provide assistance to the patient, and transport if transport is needed. We have some volunteer departments, and I'll look a little bit to the south at Beaver, Green, so forth, that have their own ambulance. Sebring recently has an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
They are manned by a volunteer workforce that does very well in responding. Several of those agencies that I mentioned have advanced to the paramedic level, which means you get a paramedic on the scene very quickly. They handle a transport into one of our medical facilities in the area.
Wow, I didn't know that. I had no idea. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. And I have Clark Jones, who is the Emergency Management Director here in Mahoning County. And we're going to talk about preparedness. I want to come back from the break. We lay the foundation about who he is and what we do here locally. But I want people to be mindful that it's snowing in March. You know, we had Sandy, and, you know, snowstorms knocked out Sandy was a hurricane, knocked out the whole eastern seaboard.
Then a week later, they got the snowstorm.
And then they got the snowstorm, and, you know, electricity goes down. Things do happen.
And I think there's still people out there that don't have electricity.
There are people. That's true. But we know that our electrical system, you've heard from the president, that is weakened. And we saw that a couple years ago when the whole grid went out.
Mm-hmm.
And it skipped over Youngstown. Thank God for that. But we need to have a mindfulness of preparedness so that if your lights go out for 4 or 5 days, I think here in Boardman, I want to say within the last couple of years, there was a power outage in the Boardman area that took everything out for a couple of days. But a couple of days can be a lifetime if you're not prepared. And, you know, you only have so many hotel rooms that you can go stay in. So what happens when they're filled and you have nowhere else to go and you may or may not have friends in areas that have lights?
Well, the thing about being prepared for disaster is if you're not part of the answer, you're part of the problem.
I'd say that. So I'll be right back. You're listening again to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening here to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to join in the conversation, please do so. South Carolina, I see you're out there. I'm going to pull you up in just a second. Sticks is in the studio with me, and I'm here with a friend of mine. I met him at the 911 Next Gen rollout for Mamone Honan County. And I knew Walter, his predecessor, and I ran into this guy and said, listen, I'm handing him my card. And before I got to the studio, I had an email. He was like, I'm here free these days, and so I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
You're always welcome here to tell us what's going on, to tell our listening audience things that we need to know, because I think it's important for preparedness. You know, I was telling you earlier that I was just playing around on Facebook, and I was learning how to make a Bunsen burner out of a Coke can. Well, yeah, it sounds kind of stupid until you need fire.
And yeah, you got to be able to boil your water.
Your water or cook something.
Yes, yeah. You got to do something. And so if I can figure something out, you know, out of alcohol and a match, because if you only have a couple matches and you need to make it go a long way, you know, you have to realize alcohol burns and you want to put it in a closed container. But it's just stuff that you just need to be mindful of, just in case. Well, you know, your car can break down on the side of the road in the middle of where Sticks lives and there's no streetlights.
Well, for example, my daughter lives in Wyoming, and it's just standard practice out there that you've got a go bag in your car in case you get caught in a blizzard.
Or avalanche or, you know, whatever can happen. I mean, I know nothing happens in northeast Ohio in the Mahoning Valley, and especially where I live, but just in case.
Tracy, we have a potential of things happening all the time.
Not here.
Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
No, God loves this country.
God may love this country, but we still see his wrath when a tornado comes through.
Not Mahoning Valley?
Yeah,
no. Earthquakes.
Earthquake?
What earthquake? That my mom, I saw a little chair. My mom came and said, are you okay? And I'm like, that's an earthquake.
Well,
we earthquakes over the West Coast.
I want to stand aside on the earthquakes because that opens a whole other discussion.
Yeah, we don't need to go there.
You can do that. You don't mind. They're not going to call in today.
But I do emphasize we're right now coming into the spring months. Very soon we're going to go into the spring storms. The thunderstorms, the lightning storms spawn tornadoes. As you're looking outside,
listen,
you'd say, not today.
Mark, listen, we can't have that because right now we have snow. And we're going to go from snow.
Tomorrow, Tracy.
No. We're going to go from winter to summer.
You think no spring at all?
Skip that.
Well, then we're going to have summer thunderstorms, lightning, thunder, high winds.
Yeah, you got a point.
High winds of damage. And this is where self or home preparedness is so very, very important.
It is.
You know, everybody has to belly up and take responsibility for their own actions. And that's a lot to say.
What do I need to have? How do I prepare?
How long should somebody be ready?
Do I really need
to
water?
To expect help
yes.
to come.
Okay, let's answer one question. You say how long? We recommend 72 hours of sustained no power. Now think about that. Who in their house has enough potable water to do two things? You don't need always potable. Number one, satisfy the needs of your family. And I want to go back to what we mean by that. And secondly, and more importantly, you got to do something with that commode. you're going to need some type of liquid.
Yeah, because that'd be potty full, potty bad.
Not good.
Not good. Not healthy.
Not
smell
good.
Bad.
Smell real bad.
Smell real bad. Ask Carnival Cruise.
Yeah. Well, there's a good point. Face your ass.
And that, you know, and that's something that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, you can take the trap loose underneath your sink and save that water to flush your toilet with.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I tell you, about him?
You know, he comes up with very good answers, but we take the average 18 or 19-year-old young mother.
I don't even know what a trap is.
They don't know how to do that.
Yeah. No.
But they could, with a little planning, have enough water available. And there's a whole litany of things, Tracy, that I'd like people to understand they need.
Go ahead.
Water is primary.
Mm-hmm.
And you
why
can
is
get,
water so important?
Well,
because you don't think about water.
You got to hydrate your body. You got to stay alive. And once again, 72-hour supply. But I want to go back to another word that's so important here, and that's family accountability.
Okay.
We as parents, grandparents and so forth have a responsibility when there's inclement weather or something to be accountable for who and who, where they are. We need to know where our children are. We need to know that, if possible, they're under our care. If possible, they have been trained on what to do if there's a fire in the house. If there's bad weather, how you get to the lowest part of your home, preferably the basement, that you have a to-go box or bag or something in that basement that contains enough food for 72 hours, and that has to be non-perishable food unless you want to change it out consistently, but something that can be canned and be in place to sustain you for 72 hours. It may take that long or longer for rescue people to come in from a strong windstorm or a tornado and find you and get you out of your dwelling. And I say that meaning be prepared at home, be accountable at home, and then when all that's in place, practice it. Periodically, maybe on a Sunday.
Hold on, Sal. Go ahead, Clark.
Or a Saturday. Practice what we're talking about.
Oh, Clark, I'm going to come back to what you just said. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Now, I heard Stick say the to-go bag, and I've heard this gentleman say the to-go bag. I'm from South Carolina. I have no idea what a to-go bag is.
We'll help you here.
What's a to-go bag?
Find a suitable duffel bag. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Get a duffel bag together. A couple of things that should go in there. Number one, or beside it, is enough potable water for 72 hours. Things you don't think of.
Okay.
Toilet paper. Okay?
That's all right. Don't worry about it because Diva said toilet paper is not as important as Red Bull, so you don't need that.
Well, I think I prefer to have a couple rolls of toilet paper if I have my family together. You know, one of the other things that we don't see much of is a small portable transistor radio.
I have one.
If you have one, or what we might recommend is one of the National Weather Service weather alert radios available at a lot of retail stores now at very, very low pricing. You get a double whammy there, sir. You get, number one, the pre-alerts that the National Weather Service is putting out, NOAA, and you also then have the ability to have communications, which they will use those frequencies to alert large areas if there has been a problem with high winds, storms, so forth.
Also, I would suggest an inverter.
If you can have some type of power mechanism.
I have an inverter. I keep it in my car.
Okay.
I have one that I have a backup.
All right.
I keep them. I use them for my own usage, for tailgating or whatever I'm doing in my home, but I find them to be very resourceful.
That's a pretty good idea.
And you would be surprised. It will power up my cell phone,
because
cell phone towers really don't necessarily go down. They may weaken, but getting that power up during Sandy, people had a hard time getting communications because they couldn't power their cell phone. And your home phone are no longer hard line.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the ultimate radio.
What's that?
It's solar. Got a hand crank on it.
Me too.
It'll charge my cell phone.
I got that too.
You got
one
too?
Of those Swiss
and
Army.
It's got short wave.
I've got one of those. Yeah, mine too. I got one of those Swiss Army. crank.
What happened to our listener?
Yeah.
Did we help you at all?
I'm still here. I'm still here. You're talking about the radio. I've got the one with the it's got the weatherman. It's actually got the police man. The thing is old as dirt, but it works great.
Will it read my station?
It will. Maybe after dark.
Okay.
Maybe after dark.
How about the food and water? You going to take care of that?
Oh yeah, that's some. I've got a old, and Sticks will know what I'm talking about. The old 5-gallon plastic water jug used to have when I was in the Marine Corps. I've got two of those.
Dude, these guys are preppers. They're ready for anything happening.
Well, I was Army, so I'll just, you know, I'll accept your Marine Corps comments with respect, sir.
Hey, 314, your mic is on.
Well, I like y'all getting ready to go camping.
We ain't going camping. It's called emergency preparedness, Pianchi. Pianchi's out of St. Louis.
Oh, we know this gentleman.
Yes, they call in from all over the country. They listen to you all over the country.
Good morning,
sir. And they call
sir.
In from all
good
over
morning.
The country.
Yes,
good morning.
I should have been ready for the 14 inches of snow we had Sunday.
No one could be ready for that.
Not much you can do about it.
Yes, but no, this is a very good topic. You know, when I was coming up as a child, this was commonplace in education.
I'm glad you
brought that up. To be prepared.
He just said that on Saturdays we need to have drills. I haven't seen a household have a drill since I was a puppy, and that's been a long time ago.
We won't go there. It's no plan is good unless you exercise it. And that
we had one that I remember, and we used to have the tornado drills, and we used to have the nuclear drill.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that when I was back in first grade.
You must have lived within 50 miles of either the Bessie or the other one, whatever it's called. The one north, one south.
I live about 15 miles from the one of the first nuclear plants that they put on the East Coast.
Okay. Well, there were some scary times there as those things manifested themselves into our lifestyle. People weren't sure what to do.
So we've been going through this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to you before you came on about, we talked about putting water inside of the tub and filling it up. And, you know, because, you know, when we say water, when you say water, in my mind, as a girl, I go out and get me a couple cases of water and throw them in the garage and a couple down in the basement. So I got water. That'll last me 2 days. But I don't think how many bottles will it take for me to flush a commode?
Well,
like the idea of the bathtub, except you may not have a bathtub in the basement.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh. How about gallon jars or the 5-gallon?
What is it if you put... take an eyedropper and you drop a drop of chlorine if you don't have city water. A drop of chlorine and a gallon of water, it'll keep for years, won't it?
I'm not sure I can answer that. I'm not going to say it's the first time I've heard it, but it sounds logical that the chlorine would keep it to the point you could use it. I think so. I'll probably have somebody from YSU's chemistry department tell me I'm off.
Okay. They tell me you can.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go out and if you're really hardcore and get you some iodine pills.
Yeah, so iodine is good for radiation.
Yeah. See,
to purify your water as well. It's nasty,
right.
I don't know what, but it'll keep you alive.
Right. See, in the emergency bag in my truck.
You gotta
keep
an emergency bag in your truck.
Absolutely.
You? Okay.
It's got a first aid kit, and it's got a signal kit. So if you go down over a bank and you need to signal an airplane, it's got a little mirror in it.
He's right on that first aid kit. That's a very, very...
First aid kit.
Yeah, absolutely.
What should be... Now, let me say this. I go out, and as we have more female heads of household now than ever before, and as bright as we are, it is as naive as we are, because we know everything not to know everything when it comes to stuff like this. So we go out and buy the cute one at TJ Maxx. And I'm serious.
Something is better than nothing.
But what should really be inside of a real?
Well, your biggest concern is going to be hemorrhaging or bleeding. So whatever kind of kit you buy,
gauze.
The emphasis in there is, first of all, a dressing, not gauze.
Okay.
A dressing that goes directly over a wound or wounds. Then your gauze to hold that dressing in place.
Okay.
Because the chance of hemorrhage, the chance of being hit by flying debris, will leave fractures out of this and just say there's superficial wounds. That's where you've got to take the first aid measures. And we always recommend an American Red Cross first aid class to anybody. And they have some home classes of what to do in disasters. The American Red Cross chapter in Warren does some very, very fine teaching for those things. Jenna Jaros up there is perfect to talk to.
Okay.
I wish I could remember the number,
Tracy,
off
will,
top of my head.
We'll figure it out. Jenna Jaros from the Warren Warren Red Cross.
Jaros, yeah.
Red Cross.
As far as other things in the first aid kit, you know, an aspirin goes a long way to make you feel a little better when things are not going right.
Okay.
So for the adults and so forth, but
a blanket.
A blanket.
And
if you have room in your kit, I would suggest some dry clothes for each member of your family.
And some duckies.
If you got
any medical device that you use, any disposable medical device that you use on a regular basis.
What do you mean by that, Stick?
Well, for example, I've had a spinal cord injury, and I have to use a catheter.
Okay.
So I keep several catheters in that emergency bag, so if I would get separated from the house for a period of time.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Also, for bleeding, and this was found out by accident by the guys in Iraq, feminine pads. Keep feminine pads in your go bag.
Also good.
That's smart.
That's a good idea.
And actually, there's a neat story about that. A bunch of Marines got these care packages, and by mistake, they were full of feminine pads. And they, for a joke, they put them in their pockets.
Yeah.
And one of them got hit. And
that will absorb it.
Yep.
And then they can tie it down.
Instant dressing.
That's smart.
That is
good. Your mic is on.
That is terrific.
It is.
It's a good idea. I think that the biggest thing is common sense. Again, if you can provide that magic 72 hours with life-sustaining things that you need. Now, one of the things we always hear is have your prescriptions available.
Yes.
Well, if you have time while you're getting ready to get into your shelter, if you're given that option and have time, make sure you grab your prescriptions, because it may be several days again, or several hours, it's mm-hmm. just open, that you need a mandatory prescription that you should be taking. So they tell you put extra ones in your kit. Well, I don't think doctors sign prescriptions
for
extra ones. So you need to know where your scripts are. Grab them and take them with you.
But you, and let me say this. For those people who have refrigerated, if you have refrigerated
drugs.
Mm-hmm. Be mindful that you should all in your basement or in your garage or somewhere, you ought to have a beer kit. What's it called? Ice bucket.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that when the power goes out, and make sure in your refrigerator at all times you have a cooling pack.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can always put them in there and keep your medicine, you know, chilled. Because I found out when I went to up to New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
there were a lot of senior citizens, when the power went out, their refrigerators got so hot, even though they kept the door closed, but it was for so long,
mm-hmm.
that they lost their prescriptions, and they lost their insulin, and they lost their shots, stuff that had to be refrigerated.
Injections.
Mm-hmm. And with that, it caused them a lot of grief. People that have MS, they take interferons. So make sure that you do that. You can always move that over into an ice box, and it will be isolated just for you.
My wife is an MS patient. She's on interferon medication three days a week. And I'm proud to say that we have an extra set set up downstairs. Yeah. It'd be awful if the emergency management director got caught with his pants down.
And you know, I mean, there are 12-volt refrigerators.
Mm-hmm.
If your life depends on something being refrigerated, it would probably behoove you to buy a 12-volt refrigerator that plugs into a cigarette lighter in your car.
Well, you know, I'm all about inverter. I'm all about the inverter. I have two. One for one front part of the truck and one for the back part of the truck.
But,
it's
not going to run a refrigerator.
It does. You get enough volts. Get enough amp.
Well,
oh, yeah, they do.
Look like dig out my old ham radio equipment.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, before you came in here, they were one of the ham radio junkies that are around here that takes care of the studio.
Oh, Wes will love that. That was a good shot, Trace. That was good.
You know, they say that during emergencies, they are the go-to guys.
Mm-hmm.
They are our backbone. If we lose infrastructure within the county, if a particular municipality loses its public safety radios and can't ally with an adjacent township or village or city, the amateur radio network can be activated. They can put troops on the ground, or boots on the ground, I guess is the thing, in just a literally a matter of minutes, because they are so, I'm looking for the right word, there are enough amateur radio operators in this part of the country, and our pre-plans call for the deployment to hospitals and to our emergency operations center on Industrial Road. It's possible within the hour that we can have communications infrastructure built up for at least critical messaging to public safety entities, to the hospitals.
We saw, when you're not prepared for communication, we saw during 911 how their infrastructure was so weak they could not communicate the safety services with one with another so that they coordinate their services and what they were doing.
And Tracy, you know, as hard as we've tried and as many federal dollars as we put into this, and believe me, interoperable communications was our number one target when the federal dollars became available after the New York situation. That number one target still has voids where we have trouble with interoperable communications.
Wow.
We've exercised it. We've identified the problems. Heck, we've run out of money, but we're still chasing that magic number when we can say everybody can talk to everybody. We aren't there yet, but we're still trying.
Now, how useful are the old Citizens Band radios for those of us who still have them laying around?
I think it's dual. Number one, somebody else is out there, and that has to be good when you use your CB radio. Number two, if you can get out and talk to somebody, there's a chance that they might have cell coverage that you don't have. They might even have their landline service and they could be assistance to you. I wouldn't throw it away. I keep it.
Just lock it up in the basement.
Yeah. We got the basement about half full now.
Just about.
We're headed there.
Just about. I think that's good. You know, hand sanitizer.
Wonderful.
Hand sanitizer, just having it on hand,
mm-hmm.
You know, and actually going in at least when you change the batteries on your
smoke detectors
mm-hmm. going down and checking the expiration dates on your equipment that you have in your emergency bag, doing like you do your spring cleaning, find a schedule.
You can use that October month. You know, they always talk about changing batteries.
Yeah,
And I think that's excellent. But I would encourage you to look at it. Just as we approach the spring thunderstorm season, because, you know, in northeastern Ohio, that is our single biggest concern is the winds and the thunderstorms.
And, you know, we have trees. In the last several years, our the windstorms that we've had here,
mm-hmm.
I watched them take a roof off of a church,
mm-hmm.
and I watched it pull up some trees inside of Wick Park and Mill Creek Park. That just blew my mind.
It's incredible what wind and downdraft will do.
And we should be prepared. Just the little things. You don't have to be like Styx and go and have the Army Navy inside of the trailer, backed up with the generator on the back.
I think it's pretty cool that he's gone that far.
Oh, it's bad.
What? He's bad?
It's bad.
Is that right?
Yes.
Actually, yeah, I could literally sit out there pretty much for a year and never move.
It's bad. I'm going to his house. You know, it's just me and my mom are going to pack up me and the dog, and we're going to go.
No, have him come to you.
No, we're going to go to him.
Why?
It'll be easier because mine, you know, during the emergency, he's out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, you touched on something else that again, people don't think about.
What's that?
Pets.
Oh, I got to take care of my baby.
See?
Does she have her own backpack to carry her own food?
Absolutely.
Good.
And enough water that she can drink?
Yep.
Absolutely. And her meds.
Mm-hmm.
It's that accountability thing where where are they? Where are my kids, my dogs?
Yes.
And the anxiety that it puts you through when you can't count for them. Let's not even go there. Let's just say it's important that they be accounted for.
A lot of people have lost their pets during storms and during catastrophes.
There were a lot of loose pets after Sandy.
Yes.
Lots of them. I mean, I saw them.
I mean, you're not prepared. You don't know, and they're frightened as pets, and they run.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hard enough time keeping them contained on a good day if you have a dog like mine. Let alone having to get out the house readily, and get if you have kids, and if you're not prepared, getting their coats and trying to get your license and your birth certificates, then you need to have a binder if you can, and put all of your family's passports and everything in one case, almost like they tell domestic violence women. They tell them to have a bag packed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We actually really need to. Everyone should have that kind of preparedness for anything.
And the thing is, a waterproof case to put that stuff in is not that expensive.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
You can get the totes. You can get.
Yeah.
He's got a point.
Yeah.
Waterproofing it.
Yeah, water's a bad thing when it comes to paper.
Yes.
Very bad thing.
It's got a very good point.
But it's a very bad thing if you don't know where it is and you got to find it.
Right.
And I mean, seriously, you know, you can digitize some of this stuff now and just scan it into your computer and just have it backed up on a flash drive just so that you have it and you can get to it when you need it.
Well, you're on a roller. Let's talk about family records.
I'll be right back. I've got to take a break. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Alex, I'm going to pick you up when I come back. Pianki and Diva, your lines are alive. We'll see you on the other side.
On your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also...
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The Supreme Court has heard the second of what could be two landmark cases regarding gay marriage. Today, the justices focused on the Defense of Marriage Act and specifically the portion of that law which denies some benefits to legally wed same-sex couples, which it grants to heterosexual couples. At the center of it, Edie Windsor, an 83-year-old woman who was faced with an estate tax bill of hundreds of thousands of dollars when her partner died. She'd been married to a man she would have owed nothing. Roberta Kaplan is her attorney.
Our Constitution deserves Edie Windsor. And Edie Windsor deserves our Constitution.
But opponents like the Reverend Robert Schenck of the Evangelical Church Alliance says it's an historic day for a different reason.
Puts at risk the religious liberties of duly authorized clergy, and particularly those who are under the authority of the federal government, such as the hundreds of military chaplains in this country.
Yesterday, the court heard a challenge of Proposition 8, California's voter-approved ban of same-sex marriage. The new head of the Secret Service has been sworn in, but some are wondering if President Obama chose a woman director because of the prostitute scandal last year.
Julia Pearson's rise to director is more than another glass ceiling breaking.
She's been in just about every operational section the Secret Service has.
Former Agent Dan Bongino does not believe this was to change the culture of a law enforcement agency tarnished by that prostitute scandal last year.
I think the right question to ask was it primarily a political pick, and the answer is no.
Pearson has been in the ranks for 30 years, most recently as chief of staff at headquarters. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Sales of previously owned homes are expected to keep rising in the coming months. That's the indication from today's report from the National Association of Realtors. This is ABC News.
History, tradition, prosperity. All things that we value in our lives. The common thread that binds us together as family. Identity Guard shares these values. That's why we work every day so that the people who trust us get the level of service and security they've come to expect from Identity Guard. We understand that your plate at times can become pretty full. Jobs, family, responsibilities. With everyone you watch out for, who's watching out for you? Identity Guard makes it easy to keep your personal information private and secure, helping to keep the information that is important to you and your family safe. We're always focused on helping to keep your identity safe to make your life just a little easier.
Go to identityguard.com/action and try Identity Guard's most comprehensive protection. You'll receive 3 credit scores and credit monitoring for 30 days free. The first 500 to take advantage of this offer will also receive a document shredder free. This is an extremely limited offer, so you must sign up now and get your 30 days free to qualify for the shredder. Visit identityguard.com/action.
A pricey option for cars may soon go the way of the Edsel.
For the better part of a decade, the car manufacturers have been trying to bring your digital life into your car with expensive systems to handle navigation, music, and phones. Facebook's Doug Frisbee came here to the New York Auto Show to tell automakers consumers aren't going for it because they have devices that do all those things. They're smartphones.
We're all trying to create our own unique proprietary user interfaces. But as it turns out, customers really want to move seamlessly between systems.
Better, he says, to make your smartphone the brain that powers your car's nav display. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Customers at a St. Louis area Panera Bread can pay what they want when they order a bowl of turkey chili. 3 years after launching the first of its Pay What You Want cafes, food chain says it's bringing the concept to its latest charitable venture. The suggested price for a turkey chili in a bread bowl, $5.89, including tax, but if you can't afford to pay it, you can pay less. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Need broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice for your small business? Custom plans from AT&T have just what you need. Call 1-855-877-4288 today for special offers available on new small business packages. AT&T, rethink possible.
Underwater? Upside down? Do these terms describe your current mortgage situation? Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans to tell you that it may be time to get HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance at a lower rate even if your home has lost value. Millions of homeowners are eligible for this program right now, including hundreds of thousands who currently have a mortgage with Bank of America. That's right, hundreds of thousands of Bank of America clients are eligible for HARP and have not yet taken advantage of this opportunity.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, when liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
He wakes up, sniffs around, looks for great deals all over town. He's Sweet Jack, Sweet Jack, he's SweetJack.com. He searches in all places, really hot deals are what he chases. To get the best deals in your inbox, that's why he rocks. He's Sweet Jack, he's Sweet Jack.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I want to throw that in there because I didn't get to hear the rest of it. And a computer guy sent it over to me yesterday, and it's Jill Walsh, and it was just a real funky tune, and I didn't get to finish it yesterday, so I thought I'd try to throw it in there today. So sorry about that. And, we have fun here.
It was good music. I'm enjoying myself.
We have fun here. We enjoy life. We try to get information out. We fight. But we love each other at the end of the day, most of the time.
You know, it's so nice to be in a positive environment, Tracy.
Yeah, that state was positive today.
We're positive. usually it's positively crazy. But.
That is true.
I wanted to tell you just a little bit from the emergency management office perspective.
Hold on, Carl. One more. Listen, if anybody wants to call in, the number is 347-945-5229. Okay, go ahead.
Real quick, each of the counties in Ohio is responsible for having an emergency operations plan. That plan is shared with virtually anybody who wants it. It's about 1,200 pages long. It's not particularly the thing you'd like to sit down and read. But what it is, it's a blueprint for the EMA and the safety service agencies to deal with catastrophic situations where local resources are tapped and we need help from adjacent counties or through the state level. So Mahoning County's EOP is available if anybody would like it. Contact me at the EMA at 330-740-2200, and I can mail it or the annexes inside of it to you for your review. Also, you need to know that the county has an emergency operations center. This is a building on Industrial Road. It's part of the county complex, and it is used in the time of disaster or act of terrorism or a chemical, biological, radiological event in Mahoning County. The room is manned with the disciplines of law enforcement, fire service, representative from our two hospitals, the electric company, the gas company, the American Red Cross, and anybody else that we feel would be pertinent to whatever it is we're dealing with. That group of experts is available to the first responders in the field. A quick example, if Boardman Township, again, would need a series of generators or one of the municipalities needs generators, we then become the catalyst to locate those generators, get them delivered, and fulfill that request. The EOC is exercised generally twice a year, and some of our funding through the feds and the state is contingent on the EOC performing as required.
And now that copy can be picked up, or they can request a copy?
Sure. Yeah, if you just call me, and then if you have an email address,
okay,
we'll use the technology and we'll
email
it to you. There
you go. Email it because, you know, that can't have a copy of it.
Well, 1,200 pages, you're welcome to it. You know, I'll print it. That's not a problem. But it's better if it's an email form. Then you can look at what we call the annexes.
Okay.
And you look at under just common sense. For instance, let's say we have a hazardous chemical spill. There's about 80 pages that deals with the chain of events of how we would handle a hazardous material spill.
Now, let's talk about with the oil and gas industry coming in. What's being? I mean, are the fire departments being trained, and that type of thing? Are we changing with the times with the new industry that's coming to town?
Quite honestly, the EMA has not been involved in unilateral training for the fracking. I do know that our emphasis right now is on the gas lines because they've changed some of the chemicals and so forth that flow through the lines. We have been told through the state to sort of stand by that there was going to be some coalition that happened over in Pennsylvania, early this week, where there were some standards established and some safety standards.
Yeah.
I personally in our office don't have anything to measure it by. Again, in my resources of two people, if and when we're needed, I'm not sure that we're the expert on it. So we would need to partner with either the industry or somebody at the state level.
That would not be a bad idea to talk, to find a way of preparedness as where we are proactive of the things that can go wrong. You don't have to say they will go wrong, but they, you know, I don't think that there's going to be a bad earthquake here, but we did have one.
We did.
So since we had one, you know, I think people need to be mindful of the difference between an earthquake and a tornado, because the earthquakes have no warning.
I mean,
earthquakes just happen.
It's my understanding that in a lot of parts of the country where this has already started, that the oil companies are actually paying to train the local volunteer fire departments.
And we've had overtures through that, indicating that when necessary, they will gladly do it.
Okay.
So I think that our office will monitor it. I don't have any regulatory authority, nor do I have any more than just suggestions, but I know the fire service is going to stand right up and say,
I'm quite
you know,
sure.
We're going to be on the scene of this. What do
we
do?
To know.
What do we do?
Right.
And the answer right now is you don't do anything.
No, that's not a good answer.
Well, it's a good answer when you really consider it. If we do the wrong thing, we may cause a problem. It's better to wait till the officials of the company get there and establish post-training events what they're going to do. So we want the experts to deal with it because every fire department can't have an expert on the scene.
Call John Wayne to put it out.
Well, yeah, there's a thought.
Called.
He used to do the oil wells, right?
Yeah, that was the.
You know,
it was a John Wayne movie.
It was a movie, yeah.
Before my time.
Hellfighters.
Before my time.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm only 21.
Okay.
Hey, Pionki. What are they doing?
Yes.
What are you guys doing? I see you guys still talking about CB radios.
We're talking about CB radios. We have in reminiscences.
Y'all reminiscing on the CB radio.
1989-163.
You were a CB radio person, too?
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Sid?
I came up after you didn't have to have a license anymore.
I have a amateur extra license still and a radio first phone.
You keeping them active?
No.
How come?
I renewed the amateur extra, but the other ones I didn't fool with. I couldn't send my name nowadays over Morse code. Well, yes, I could.
See, he's got the beat, Trace.
No, wait. Let me ask you this, because I've got you for a little while longer. Morse code.
Who?
Okay. I know, that's why I'm asking. Morse code, because it is, you know, at one time it was very, very important that people had some idea of what it is. Now, if you go out, this past weekend we did a pancake breakfast, and they displayed typewriters.
Boardman Rotary.
Mm-hmm. And we display typewriters
mm-hmm.
on the
that?
Other side. And it's kind of sad. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
People who weren't sure what you were showing.
Kids have no clue. But then I also have a rotary phone still.
How do you make a word?
Oh, did you just put it on the display.
Oh, okay.
And if you hit somebody, it's like a weapon.
Oh, okay.
It weighs about 25 pounds.
That's what I'm saying. If you hit somebody over the head with it, you're in business.
Yeah, I was a quartermaster in the Navy, and I'm like Pionki. I don't think I couldn't send my name in flashing light anymore. There ain't no way.
If I can't dial it or talk to it, it doesn't exist.
Are those things just non-existent anymore?
They do still require, for a ham radio, they still do require Morse code, though, don't they?
Yep.
Oh, do they really?
For one level of licensure in there, yeah.
I think
you can get it without it, but if I'm not mistaken, there's a level requires the code.
Diva, are you there?
You know, that was some of the most fun. I'm sorry.
David, are you prepared in your home for any kind of disaster? Or do you have a 72-hour bag?
No.
You're honest. No. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. I don't have a 72-hour bag, but I know what I need to have in the house. It's in the basement. It's in a safe place.
But I got water. I got a case of water and canned goods.
I got a case of water and canned goods, but I still don't have that 5-gallon jug.
Portable radio?
Yep. Well, I have the crank radio with the lights in it.
There you go.
I got all that.
That's good.
Toys that make noise, I have. That's not a problem. It's that other stuff, like having the conventional stuff like water to flush
the toilet. So when things fall apart, you got a bag to grab to come to Stix's house? Or are you going to be running around the house putting stuff in the bag?
When I hear that beep going, beep, 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 in the middle of my television show,
yeah.
You know, I'll know to get up where to go get it. Let me ask you this,
you
Clark.
Need to get a weather monitor radio to keep it on all the time.
The only problem with that is the one I had, they must have done a test in the middle of the night or something, because every now and then in the middle of the night it would go off.
What we found is the original group and so forth of those radios was alerting probably 60 miles west of here.
Oh.
So you're getting weather west of us, and as it moves east predominantly, each time it hits a line of point, the Weather Bureau reinitiates the test.
Ah.
The newer radios now can be programmed so that they only operate in a 2 and 3 county
area,
which is really a good idea, because you want warning, but you don't need an hour warning to only have those storms, as they often do make that branch go north or go south and miss the Mahoning Valley.
Let me ask you this, because see, this is what gets me. I'll be watching television, and I'll be watching the news, and you'll get the warning, the watch, and something else, a little scroll from, you know, Doppler radio, and they come on and start talking. And they have made it so frequent now that we ignore it, most of it, the majority of it. So even when the tornado lands above our house, it almost has to touch down inside the living room to get us to move. It's like we used to have fire drills when I was working. And it was so bad, they would have them so frequent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going downstairs because I'm busy. And so how do we get to the place where we become more responsible in our response as well as with our call for response?
The evolution of too much warning, I think, is upon us. And there's no such thing as too much warning. We have to reflect on being cognizant that that's trying to tell us something. If the TV stations do not air the warnings and watches, then they're not fulfilling their part of the equation to protect the public.
I agree.
But the public has to take some responsibility.
But we have to know what that means, because going downstairs and lying down underneath my bed, looking crazy for half an hour, when I look outside and the wind blew west and it went somewhere else, the response system has some kind of flaw to it, because we don't know when to act and when to just
look at it and say, we haven't touched on is when the alert sirens go off.
On Saturday morning at 12 noon.
At 12 noon. That's a test every week. Plus, on Monday morning when you don't hear them, we test them by radio on Monday morning. We send out a radio signal to each of the 53 sirens. The siren self-diagnoses itself and sends us a report back, so we know if one or two or multiple are not working for some reason. That's very, very, very good technology used carefully to make sure that the early warning devices are working. We've added a number of sirens over the years. You never can have too many. Each year I try to petition the commissioners to get us more sirens in the metropolitan areas.
Do we need a new one in the Mahoning Valley?
In the Mahoning Valley?
I'm saying Youngstown City.
Actually, you're doing pretty good. You've got the one downtown on the PD building down on Phelps Street. You've got one at the Rose Garden. There's one atop the old whatever it is on Glenwood Avenue just before you come to the bridge becoming Mahoning Avenue. And we're putting one in at the Mahoning County Criminal Justice Center building, probably the one on Commerce Street, in this go-around of siren adding.
The alarm that comes out on Saturday morning, are they all going off at the same time?
Supposed to. Yep. Now, remember, sound travels a little slower than things at times.
Mm-hmm.
You may hear ones in the distance, you may not. But they're all tested. The deputy director and I take a siren a week, and we drive to it. Just to say that, for instance, New Middletown, there's one siren in New Middletown. I'll run out there at noon and listen to it go off. And we cycle so that we get all the sirens in, physically being right there. Even if electronics tell us it's good, we try to get all the sirens in a 5 or 6 month period.
The one in Damascus works.
Mm-hmm.
The one in Youngstown works.
Mm-hmm.
I can set my clock to it.
Good.
The question I have is with the advent of cable and satellites and stuff, people aren't watching local television near as much anymore.
Cable has theirs.
Does cable interrupt, say, if you're watching the History Channel, does the local cable station interrupt it for the weather?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not only they have tests, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At the most inopportune time.
The gronk, 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 gronk.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
And it scrolls across the top or the bottom,
okay,
or tears up the whole program, and it comes right at the cliffhanger of your favorite show. Absolutely.
I'm so sorry.
And actually, your cell phone's now.
Mm-hmm.
I have alerts on my cell phone.
Yep. And that predominantly is our push into the next year or so, is to get everybody to get on alerting with their cell phone carrier.
Yeah, I get the Amber alerts as well as.
Do you know anybody that doesn't have a cell phone, really?
No.
No.
Not really. I know a couple people, but they're working on it.
Okay.
I mean, it's the advent of the new technology. We have no choice.
And well, we haven't had a hardwired phone in my house in years.
Now my question to you is: speaking of which, we don't have hardwired phones. The majority of us do not. We have VoIP phones. We have cell phones. At one time, the hardwired phone worked when nothing else worked. Is it really good for us not to have any hardwired phones?
Well, I'll fumble with an answer here, but I think if you're with one of the cable companies and you bundle your services, I would say why not? And that's an economic answer, not a safety answer. But truly, it's one more link to and from the outside world. So if you're bundling services, I would have it.
I can tell you, my wife's parents live in Charleston, South Carolina, and they went through Hugo. And after Hugo, the only phones that were working were the cell phones, because the landlines, Charleston's so low, all the trunks were flooded.
Okay.
There's that possibility.
Okay. Cell phones worked.
Still minimize your odds. If you have a tool out there and it's within your economic abilities to have it available, be the smart person and do that.
Clark, I thank you for coming and hanging out with us today. It's really been a blessing.
It's been fun.
Preparedness is important, mm-hmm. whether you're in Mahoning County or whether you're all over the country. Just having the mindset for emergency preparedness, for weather, for devastation, in 72 hours, having a bag ready.
Well, like I was telling Clark during the break, you know, when we have a blizzard here in Ohio,
yeah,
I make a cup of hot chocolate and stare out at it.
Right.
And it gives you a great sense, especially as a parent, it gives you a great sense of satisfaction to know that my family's going to be all right, that we've planned for this ahead.
But you got a plan.
Right.
Be prepared.
You got a plan.
Yeah. One of our Cocoa Love put on here
Don't.
Ready.gov. www.ready.gov for basic information.
Fabulous website. Two reasons. There's a lot of things on there that are good for the adults, but it makes a perfect turn into school projects for our school students.
Okay.
I'm glad he did that. Very, very good resource.
Let me ask you this. What's the website? What is the Mahoning County Emergency Preparedness website? What's your website?
They're www.mahoningcountyoh.gov.
Okay. It's a federal system.
It is good. It's contemporary. We update it as often as possible. But on ready.gov, the scope of what they can give you to and links and so forth is incredible.
Okay.
You know, if you got kids in school, get them on there. They'll have a good time.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Well, you'll come back and hang out with us again, won't you?
Call me.
Okay.
All right.
I hear that, Steve.
Yep.
You'll come back and talk to us about...
I like it.
Because anytime there's an emergency, people just need to be mindful. You said spring is a good time for us to start checking what we have because of the storms coming through here. And they are coming, whether I like it or not.
No question about it.
And we need to remember we are our own first responders.
I like that.
We are our
own. Neighbors, you're your first responder for your neighbor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Absolutely. Yep. Hey, listen, we'll be right back. We're going to open up, do open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
Fit family. Unique. Healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal: ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center
Find the Green Witch Workshop catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Youngstown School Superintendent Connie Haythorne says he was surprised by the school board's evaluation of his job performance. The board gave him a 5 out of 9, which means satisfactory. Last year, he was given a 7, which stands for commendable. The district remains on academic watch for the next 2 years. Sentencing has been postponed for the man convicted in the murders of 3 down-and-out men lured by Craigslist job offers after a defense attorney fell ill. 53-year-old Richard Beasley's sentencing is set for April 4th. A jury has recommended death. An annual report that looks at Ohio's capital punishment system says 128 inmates sentenced to death over the past 3 decades have avoided their sentence through court action, commutations, or dying of natural causes. The report says the state sentenced a total of 316 inmates to death since 1981, when Ohio's current death penalty was enacted. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kinda scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle was safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you.
The Marcellus and Utica Shale is a game changer for this area, and there are growing opportunities every day for people who are willing to work.
We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Natural gas is changing the job market,
and we are truly knocking the rust off this rust belt. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future. Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
Find big savings at Giant Eagle all winter long with another low price lock. Right now, hundreds of items throughout the store are locked in at low prices. Find select varieties of Giant Eagle pizza for just $2.99, 15-ounce cans of Chef Boyardee pasta for only a dollar, and select varieties of Hot Pockets for the low price of two for $4. The winter low price lock is just one of many ways to save at Giant Eagle. Big savings with a winter low price lock. That's another Giant Eagle advantage. Limited time offer, restrictions apply. See stores for details.
This is News Talk 600.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 37 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day. It's going to be an open mic, and Sticks and I are here in the studio. I think Diva and Pianchi's on the line. Want to hear from all of you today. There's some stuff in the news that I want to bring up, and hopefully I've got to talk about the same-sex marriage thing going to the Supreme Court and where that stands in America and how much equality and what's going on across the globe where people can start making their own judgments on this. I know I have mine. I've got to send a condolence out to the Roller Lampley and Coward family. A friend of mine passed away. She was only 49. I thought she was 50, but she hadn't had a birthday. Passed away on last week, and her funeral is going to be on tomorrow, and they're going to eulogize her on tomorrow. And I just want to send a healthy I love you out to their family. We grew up together, in church together, and just as friends, as kids, and young, as teenagers. And she died of a heart attack at 49. And so you guys know that I'm going to be on a tangent now. I'm going to go find some people to talk about healthy hearts. I'm trying to lose weight, but it's more than just losing weight, because you can be thin and still have a bad heart. And so we're going to have to be more heart conscious, because you just don't think about young people dying from a heart attack.
My mother's brother had his first heart attack at 38.
See, that's just crazy to me. I'm just sorry. That's just nuts to me. And so I want to do that. And also, my condolences go out to the Sylvester Patton family and the loss of their brother, Ronald Patton. And they're going to eulogize him on Friday. So I'm going to get that out the way, because they're close to me. And they've supported me in the past, and they've been there for me. And it's just overwhelming. Hey, Sticks.
Hey.
Diva, are you behaving?
Not on Facebook, I'm not. People all got me all fired up.
That's because you're crazy.
I'm not crazy. Well,
what's the topic of the day, Diva, on Facebook? What's the topic of the day?
I have two topics that I'm upset about. One would be the North Dakota abortion bill that I'm excited for. And the second would be same-sex marriages, and I see so many Christians with that red equal sign as their default picture, and I'm just like, I want to slap you for being double-minded.
So what's the red equal sign?
Oh, yeah, that means I support same-sex marriage.
Or you're standing with them for fighting for it.
Right.
My stance is, it's not that I don't have an argument. I just think this shouldn't be an argument. Because whether they believe that what they're doing is marriage or whatever, it will never stand in the eyes of God. So
no.
I just feel like this argument is foolishness. But for Christians to stand up there and put that red equal sign and say, I'm not, you know, I love gays, and, you know, if two people want to be happy, then so be it. And I'm like, you guys don't understand what's coming after this. Because once they fight for their equal rights, the next thing they're going to do is say, well, you shouldn't be allowed to call it a sin. And all those Christians who stood with them are going to have to turn around and be against them.
And you don't see how this happened because of the current administration?
this was in the works
You don't believe that this president didn't put this on the fast track?
No, I believe that this started with DOMA. Never been enacted.
Mean to tell me you don't see where this president, when he stood up and said, I have now evolved, that I believe that they need more than same-sex unions, but they need to have same-sex marriages. You don't see where he fast-tracked that?
Do you want my honest opinion
uh-huh.
of where I believe this started, or do you want me to just answer your question how you want me to answer
it? I want you to tell me where you think it started, not where you heard someone else tell me think it started.
I believe this started at is where Christians feeling like they needed to defend something that didn't need to be defended. That's my honest opinion.
What do you mean had to defend it? What do you mean?
DOMA was enacted. A lot of Christians were trying to find a way to stop homosexuals from marrying because they were afraid that it would change the connotation of marriage between man and God.
That's not how this
when
started,
that
Eva.
Fear came into play, it opened up a lot of doors to where we're at now.
But that's not how it started.
Yes, President Obama, it seemed like it's been fast-tracked because President Obama stood up and said gays should have equal rights when it comes to marriage. I do believe that when it comes to a legal binding contract, that they should have the right to be treated
as a
battle.
That's not what I asked you, Diva. That's not what I asked you.
Okay.
I corrected you because it did not start with that. It started when they asked for equal rights back in the 80s, 90s, with Bill Clinton, and DOMA came into effect. Mm-hmm. Because remember, it was don't ask, don't
right.
tell in the military.
Well, it goes back even further than that. San Francisco was actually the first city in the nation that required employers to cover same-sex
partners,
roomies, whatever you want to call it, as spouses. I mean, it's been going on for, it's been building for
30 years.
That's what I'm saying. And Christians felt like they needed
to stay quiet. No, it's not defending marriage, Diva. You have to understand the ramifications. No,
there is no such thing as same-sex marriage.
Well, there's no such thing as if there's no defense of it, Diva. I'm not defending marriage. Defending marriage. DOMA is saying, as a nation, we want to only acknowledge marriages between two heterosexual couples. That's what DOMA said.
DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act. So
That is what the legislature put the name on it, but not what the church asked for. The church asked for a declaration that would define marriage between a man and a woman.
That only the union of one man and one woman would be recognized within the confines of the United States
as a
legal marriage.
And what they've done is they're trying to put down DOMA, but they don't want a civil union. Don't get me wrong. I've said this before. I will continue to say this. What you do with your life is your business, and you should be respected at what you choose.
The problem is with this. Homosexuals have always been able to enter into contracts and do their wills and stuff so that their partner –
No,
well,
they have not.
Stuff. Yes.
No, they have not. No, that's the problem. That's the problem. The problem came in is when you had parents would come in and they would fight the contract.
Well, seriously,
if they what happened was people would go and they would be same-sex partners or whatever.
Yeah.
They would have them down as their
executor under will or beneficiary.
Executive. As well as their living will, who has say over you.
Right.
And mothers and fathers and people would come in and fight it. And because they were a living related relative, it would be overturned and they would take the
same. That's a judge's fault.
Don't get me wrong. It's still the law. Because the law was not strong enough to make that civil union bound like it is a marriage. See, if I'm married to someone, my mom can't come in and overturn the will of my husband.
That's true. That's how they killed Terry Schiavo.
But if I am a same-sex partner and I only have a contract, the relationship with my mom is stronger than the relationship with my partner.
But I thought whatever was in your will and whatever was in your living will and all that stuff was cast in stone.
Absolutely was not, because it was being fought. And because there was no way of detaching it.
But
doesn't matter.
That's a judge not doing
his
job.
That's the point.
A judge.
That's because the judges were not doing their jobs across the country. And so you had same-sex partners who were getting kicked out of hospital rooms when their partners were dying from AIDS.
Yeah, but that is hospital policy.
That doesn't matter.
That's hospital policy, and that's wrong, too.
It doesn't matter.
I agree with that.
Doesn't matter who's wrong or who's right. These people, if you have the choice that you should be able to go into contract and whatever your wishes are,
they should be met.
They should be met.
I agree.
But we did not fight for them, nor did we stand up. And then we have a lot of people, because of discrimination, and because the church and people, quote-unquote, amoral people, allowed people to beat people up and to say things and to do things that were castigating people. They allowed it, and it happened, and people were gay, and they were getting beat up, and they had been really brutalized. Because of their choice and
right.
who they wanted to sleep with.
Mm-hmm.
And we allowed them to have it. And so now they have become a classification of people. They have organized themselves. And now they are headed towards the Supreme Court. And it was put on the fast track by this president.
Mm-hmm.
We have to acknowledge that. We also have to acknowledge, I do not stand in favor of same-sex marriages.
Right.
But I do stand in favor of people being able to do and choose as they leave their money, have in your hospital room. But then I still do not agree with same-sex couples being a part of the adoption process.
I agree with that.
But we are, and so as a nation, we're sending this to the Supreme Court, and what's going to happen is, they are going to become identified as a marriage. The church has sat down on this, and it's going to get to the place where you can't preach it.
You can't preach Romans 1.
You can't preach sin, period, because it hurts
your feelings. Well, what's going to happen? I mean, what's going to happen when they tell you that you're going to marry gay people, whether you like it or not, in your church?
I ain't married.
Or it's a hair crime, or it's a hate crime, because it's coming.
So, Diva, when you say that, you know, that's you have to, it goes back farther than that. And it has a lot to do with the church being silent on it. But it also has a lot to do with right now, we have allowed this to happen because this president was the same in 2008 as he is now.
What?
And now I see more and more people, because African Americans stopped Prop 8 in California.
Oh, yeah. In huge numbers.
And now what they've done is they have what they call socially conditioned the moral majority into thinking that they need to go ahead and go along with this. And I think this is going to be to America's demise.
Well, I've said this before. It never should have been civil rights. Never should have ever been civil rights. They are being denied, and they have been denied their constitutional rights.
But
it's not civil rights.
But
as soon as you change it from constitutional right to civil right, then you can change the language.
But you got to realize whether you call it, because remember we were a part of the Constitution, but we were not treated civilly. If you were walking down the street, Sticks, I had to get off the sidewalk.
You are denied your constitutional right to walk down the sidewalk.
You have to understand. I wasn't a person.
After the Civil War, you were.
No, I wasn't. That's when you think the black codes came in. That's where the ignorance of white America comes in. I wasn't on Social Security.
I got to look that up.
Because
everybody got a Social Security card and a Social Security number.
But I wasn't on Social Security.
If you worked in a factory and you were subject to withholding.
No. I wasn't a part of that. That's why I had to go to the back door of McDonald's.
Does your mom get Social Security?
She does now, but I'm talking about prior to. We're talking about 2013. You'll go back to 1950.
I got to look that up.
There are people in this country. You got to understand how people were treated. Hey, South Carolina, your mic is on. People were treated in a ridiculous manner.
One of the things that's different, though, I guess I can understand where Sticks is coming from. When you talk about black codes and things like that, a lot of that happened below the Mason-Dixon line. know, and so it would not be something that's talked about readily up there.
That's not true, South Carolina, because if you talk to my parents and if you talk to my aunts, when they went to the Paramount Theater downtown Youngstown, they had to stay in the balcony too. Don't come down on the floor. You got to realize it's just as prejudiced and racist up here as it was down there. It just wasn't as overt.
That's what I'm saying.
And as long as we stayed in our own lane, we were okay. Just don't come out of your lane.
And gays and lesbians want to compare their fight to the fight of the black man.
I don't know why you don't think so. We gave it to them. They run in the playbook like they wrote it. And we gave it to them, and we still don't have the equality that we're due because we won't take it. But they're going to take theirs for us.
I don't know what to say, I guess. Well,
are you a healthcare professional?
The gay men can wear a sign that says, I am a man, and the gay women, lesbians, can put a sign on there and say, I'm a man, too, so...
Boy, I tell you, this is really opening up a can of worms, night crawlers.
No, low riders.
Huh?
What do you mean?
Well, it's opening up all kinds of cans of worms. If they strike down Proposition 8, I think that Christian ministers should be exempt. I think that marriage certificates should be designated, you know, depending on what the arrangement is. What's the response going to be when a 70-year-old man marries a 17-year-old youth? Male.
They love each other, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if this thing goes through, all bets are off. I mean, now we're just going to have polygamy and...
No, I mean, they say it's not going to go that far, but you got to understand, they're going to push the envelope. Everybody's going to push this envelope.
You're going to have Leona Helmsley marrying her dog?
Yeah, you are.
They said the same thing about, when they talked about we're just going to borrow from Social Security back in the 70s, oh, it's not going to be just one time. Yeah, okay. They said the same thing about that. And it's just not going to happen. You're going to have polygamy. You're going to have NAMLA's going to go crazy. The age of consent is just going to drop through the floor. You know? So, hey, once you go down that slope, it's kind of hard to stop that animal.
Well, when it comes to human beings and our morals on average, we always seem to gravitate towards the lowest bar. Wherever the lowest bar is set, that's where we gravitate to.
You know, this
as
yeah,
a race.
But there's right. always somebody willing to try to send a message, though.
You know what my problem is with this, you know, honestly? The disingenuousness of the Christian church.
Which branch?
The whole branch, the whole thing.
It was a joke. I mean, when you've got ministers, I'll say it on the air, like a Joel Osteen, saying that no matter what you do, you're going to go to heaven. You know, you don't have to live a life that's you don't have to be born again. And then you've got the folks from the Black Liberation, you know, and they're saying that. Same thing. The principles of Matthew 25 are 5-2, the saved and the unsaved. And I'm like, excuse me? And this is the kind of stuff that this is why the church is laughed at. They don't pay any attention to church. That's why they take Jesus in a university, take it, write him on a piece of paper, and stomp on it. And then when you try to stand up for him, they suspend you. Oh, yeah, but then they come back and apologize and say we should have been tolerant. Yeah, okay.
Well, is gays and lesbian a class?
Yeah, they are now. They became one. Congress did that a couple years ago.
Hold on.
And the people who supported the congressmen who allowed them to become a classification of people never barked about it.
So now they're seeking particular rights to that class.
Absolutely.
Now I got a question.
Yeah.
Suppose you was in that class, so you get the double dip as a black, no, triple dip, a black, a female, and a gay and lesbian.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
So you're going to get a girlfriend now, Tracy, so you can triple dip?
Absolutely not.
How many, and Bianchi, how many do you think are going to start coming out of the, quote unquote, coming out of the closet now?
Oh, there's going to be millions.
Well, they did that. Remember that movie? It was about the two guys pretended they were gay to get the
Harry,
get the
for the
health insurance.
But you don't have to worry about that now because you're going to be covered anyhow. You got Obamacare.
Well, what I want to know is, you know, without some form of a civil union, how do you decide if you're just shacking or if you're committed forever?
That's why they're doing the marriage thing. But you have to understand the spiritual connotation that comes with marriage.
Well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with common law?
Well, that's based on state. I mean, I think in Ohio, all it takes is for a woman to be standing next to you and saying that I'm your wife.
I don't think we have common law here anymore.
Oh, they've done away with it?
I think we've done away with it.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost sure we have.
You've got common law in South Carolina, but what's going to happen with it? So that means a man that's been living with another man for, six years?
Two widow brothers that's been living together all their lives?
Even if they're not gay, that one man can say, "Well, we were lovers. How is the other man going to prove he wasn't?"
The difference will be the marriage versus the non-married, because now they're going to have to do. Because right now, because they don't acknowledge civil unions, they don't acknowledge their taxes. They don't acknowledge. I mean, there's a lot of things that are not acknowledged. Because dependent,
and that's why the further this goes, the more I'm starting to agree with Alex.
Well, Tracy,
I got
Tracy,
a question.
What gets me is the fact that you've got people out there that are sitting on their butt, they're being lazy. The same, hey, you
they
can blame somebody on your taxes. You can write somebody into your will. You can
write a living will to
give them power to do what they need to do. They can do all those things legally.
But South Carolina, that's what I was telling Sticks earlier. In past, what has happened is, people have not upheld the contract of the people who asked for their, you know, if I leave everything to you, my mother comes along and says, no, I can't leave everything to South Carolina. And because my mother is the closest living relative that I have, then when it came down to you actually going into making medical decisions for me, you couldn't do it, even though I wrote down that you were my you had rights over my living and my death
medical
will.
Medical power of attorney.
Well,
I'm talking about a living will, Tracy.
I'm talking about a living will.
Binding contract.
No. You take that and you.
We need to get an attorney in here.
I've seen judges overturn it. They void them out.
What'd you say, Bianchi?
I've seen them do it.
Am I lying, Bianchi?
You're right. I've seen that happen with a lady who worked for Chrysler for about 35 years. She had a stroke. And she had wrote a power of attorney to her son, and the judge diminished it and gave it to a court appointed trustee.
No, I'm not talking about a power of attorney. I'm talking about a living will. Unless a power of attorney is notarized and put into the court record, it can be contested. But if you go through it the legal way, get your living will, have it recorded. In a court of law,
it can be
that
contested.
Is illegal, and it can be contested.
And
but
it will lose.
It will not lose, Tracy.
It will lose.
If this person does this before a judge, and the judge swears out in court that this person is of sound mind and body, they may contest it.
On its merit,
it stands. On its merit, it stands as a legal document.
But let me ask you this. By the time this is where they should not have to go through all that. They shouldn't have to go through all of that. If they want to go and stand up and say this person and get a contract and make it a civil union and do whatever is necessary for that, then they need to be able to do that. But what we've done is
they make them.
No, they can't.
Tracy, I'm telling you, they can't.
I know. South Carolina. they can do a lot of things, but it can be overturned, and it has been.
Yes, it can.
South Carolina, let me tell you what happened here.
Ask Pamela Anderson, can it be overturned? Can it be overturned?
What happened here, Stacey, with this lady? I know this lady had a stroke, and she was recovering, and the children put her in a nursing home because they felt that it would help her recover faster. But the nursing home wouldn't let her go. Nursing home started getting a pension and so on and so on and so on. So what happened? The children went out there and visited her. I guess you can say they kidnapped the mother and put her with another relative in another state. Well, the local prosecuting office arrested them and put them in jail until they told where the mother was and brought her back to the nursing home. And then it went to court, and that's when the judge started avoiding, power of attorney, wills, and putting her property into the hands of a court-appointed trustee to sell to pay off the nursing home.
See, that's what I'm saying.
A judge can overturn anything.
But your marriage is not overturned.
But
your marriage,
but your will can be.
But your marriage is not.
Your will can be.
But your marriage is
not. My mother, my parents could contest a will leaving everything to my wife. They can go to court and contest it, and if they can find the right judge, she's out of luck.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
Anna Nicole Smith lost everything.
Listen, marriage is supersede. Because remember, she had a prenup.
We need to get along.
No.
I don't know what happened with Anna Nicole Smith. I can't speak for that. I'm not going to speak for that because I didn't watch that.
It was all in the paper. It was everywhere. She married the man. The man was worth $170-something million. South Carolina, that's not normal.
Marriages are not overturned. They might be overturned,
no,
but it's not
no,
normal.
But they took the money from her.
But listen to what I'm saying, South Carolina. Marriages are not overturned, whereas especially when it comes to the medical well-being of a person, not like they do inside of when you have same-sex marriages and a relative comes in like their mom and dad. You got to understand the equivalency of this. And mom and dad tells, your partner, they've got to leave the room and don't come back.
Well, Tracy, it's like this. If they want to set up that provision, then let them set up that provision. Then don't call it marriage.
Don't get me wrong. I agree with not calling it marriage. But my issue is we need to actually set up a civil union for them, but I'm not for marriage. I'm not for marriage. Marriage is bad.
Sounds to me like all we need is for judges to do what they're supposed to do, and that's uphold contract. Instead of overturning contract because they don't agree with it.
You have to understand, they have some leeway. Judges have leeway even to overturn a guilty verdict.
But what I'm saying is,
I understand.
If two homosexuals have a contract, the judge should not overturn that contract because the parents don't like it.
But what I'm saying, we have not given them that leeway. That's why we are here today.
No, they do have that leeway. The judge does not have to overturn that contract.
But we have given it to them, and so that's why we are here today. I think we're saying the same thing, but it's too late now. The question is, how do we put this horse back into the barn and put it to civil unions and not to marriage? Diva, your mic is on. You need to push one maybe, but your mic is on.
What kind of cost is this going to occur to states? Suppose you have a same-sex male marriage and the mother of the two ends up in prison. So do the prison have to protect them from the general population the way they do a youth when they are in an adult prison?
They're probably going to have to segregate them.
I don't know. My question is, how do we deal with this on the same line that you're talking about? I have a problem now with open showers everywhere.
Well, Tracy, there's a law. There's a law. I can't remember what state it is. I don't think it's Ohio, but the transgender individuals are suing the state because the state made a law that you cannot use a bathroom that's marked if you are a male, transgender or not. If you are a male, then you have to use the male bathroom.
Okay.
Well, you don't have no penis. You ain't no. You're not a male anymore, are you?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, because remember, they're transgender. They haven't changed over.
No, getting rid of your penis does not make you a woman.
That's true, but I'm just saying, what happens now when your daughter, Diva, now goes to school?
What happens in the boys' shower room?
And she's in the girls' shower room with the girl, because there is a problem that's going on now inside of our high school.
Yeah. It's getting done.
Here's the thing. Why do we separate boys from girls? We separate them so that, one, there be no embarrassment because of the body types. Two, we separate them because we don't want no hanky-panky going on.
That's what I'm saying, Diva. It's
not going to have no hanky-panky with a girl. However, I don't believe just because a boy feels like he's a female does not make him a female. So, no, you should not be showering with my daughter. And I'm going to make sure that either
you're missing my question.
I can just see a whole bunch of teenage boys wearing a dress to school just to get in a girl's locker room.
Listen, this is my question, Diva, and this is my problem. I want to know, how is it, because right now when you have same-sex relationships now in the high school level and beyond, when they go to showers in the same locker rooms, you got girls in there that are looking like at you just like a man would.
I mean, but Tracy, I've had that in middle school, so.
In middle school, what was the purpose of the looks? What was the purpose of the looks in middle school, Diva?
I mean, it was just basically, I don't get down like that.
But you got to realize, they're not looking like this. These kids are sexually advanced right now. You know, you're not trying to get the person who's attracted to you sexually and you in the same locker room with him and you ain't paying no attention to him no more.
Who is strictly heterosexual and not into other girls is not going to, it's not going to be a problem. The only thing you have a problem with is two gay girls doing hanky-panky in the shower.
And they do.
Yeah, but now we got this whole transgender thing, and like I said earlier, I can see a whole bunch of teenage boys wearing a dress to school just to get in the girls' locker room.
That's not going to work.
Oh, but they're going
to work. I think you're funny. But I was trying to address something that South Carolina said earlier, and I don't know what happened to my phone. You couldn't hear me. But going back to what you said, Tracy, is that when it came to writing those contracts and homosexual couples having contracts and whatnot, they were discriminated in such a way that the courts refused to acknowledge those contracts based on the fact that they were homosexuals. So, therefore, that's why now we have this fight. Secondly, even if we did allow them to enter into a legal contract, you still have the provision where it comes from insurance purposes, medical purposes. I mean, a gay couple who's been together for 20 years, established a life, one gets sick, the partner can't make any decisions because it's hospital policy that only a spouse can do it. So then now hospital is going to have to change their policy. It's going to have
to be so much more
allowing them to enter into a written contract.
What come they didn't write up something before that point came on?
The laws wouldn't allow it, so they went after. They jumped over same-sex unions and jumped straight into marriage.
We've been ignoring the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
But the Bill of Rights did not do that.
The Bill of Rights gives you the right to enter into a contract with any person you see. That's what it all goes back to, is a breakdown of the system.
There you go.
Hospital decisions, they were saying only spouses, you have to be married.
That is a violation of somebody's constitutional rights.
No, it's not.
Because you have to understand what happens now. I am married to a, hold on sticks, I am married to a man, I'm married to you. And I decide to go and do my own will outside of what you think. And I leave everything to my boyfriend by contract.
Right. I can't break it. That's where it's going.
You're missing my point. That should not be allowed, Styx. You, as a husband, if you want to leave everything to me and not leave anything to Paula should, and she has been your wife for the last 30-some years, do you really think that's right?
I don't think it's right. but it's a contract.
But you think it's okay?
I think it's legal.
It's
I don't think
legal.
It's moral.
It can't be legal because a marriage supersedes that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
it's
not legal. It's not legal.
It is legal. You
right
do not. No, my wife owns half.
Until you decide to write a contract saying she doesn't get
you
the other half.
No, she owns
half.
Right.
Oh, you
so
can't do that.
So if I kick off tomorrow morning and leave you my half, she still has half.
Half of what?
Tracy, just put it like
half
this.
Tracy
said you left everything to the girlfriend. The wife has a legal standing to go after her half. And basically,
correct.
If you're dead, all of hers. It ain't half of hers. It's all of hers. So that
could be the intention. Not if he get remarried. It's not.
Let me tell you
what recently happened here in South Carolina. A man left his wife. Him and his wife split up some almost 40 years ago. Okay, he worked at one of the steel mills here. Okay, he has a nice big old house. Him and his wife were separated. She's got her another boyfriend. She never got remarried. He's got this girlfriend that he's been with for 25 years. He dies. Okay, guess what happened?
Everything goes back to the first wife.
Everything went to the first wife. Why?
Absolutely. Because she never got divorced.
No.
Nope.
Why?
He never updated his will.
Right. He never updated his will. And unless he had a will and it was actually, but his Social Security still goes back to his first wife.
Yeah.
Everything
goes
back to his first wife.
If he had updated his will, his first wife or his wife would never have gotten a thing.
It depends on the
because
state and the law.
It's called one year separation.
A wife or a husband has the legal right to consent a will that their spouse had made, giving everything away that belongs to them to another person. Because once that spouse dies, those possessions belong to the spouse. They have
that's
no right to give away.
That depends if it's community property state or not.
If I and Tracy was married and we was married for say 25 years, and then I divorced Tracy, then I married somebody else and I died after 15 years. Well, the spousal benefits that I accumulated would be prorated between Tracy per her years and then next spouse per her years.
That's Social Security.
No, it's also spousal. It's also pensions too.
Because, right now, because I'll tell you what happened. At one time, men would leave the mill and they would get their pension, retire, and they would take 100% of their pension, and they would die. And because they took 100% of their pension, when they died, the pension never transferred to the wife, and they never told the wife that the pension never transferred.
Right. I had to take
it. Absolutely right.
So now hold on, Diva. Now when a man retires or when a person retires, you have to have your spouse come in and sign off that you're taking 100% of your pension instead of you taking a partial pension that will roll over to your spouse.
That's right.
Are you sure that's state law?
Because
when I retired from the Navy Reserve, I elected to take the lower amount so there would be pension for Paula, but she didn't have to sign anything.
How long ago was it?
12 years.
It may have changed, but I know today
you
must sign off because what they did was they left a lot of people destitute with no benefits.
Oh, sure.
And you can't just do that because a marriage makes that happen, whereas a contract does not.
Now, in some pensions, it only follows the wife that you had when you was working.
That's
so
true. A lot of them do. Because
if you
can't remarry or something.
But here is the thing. We are trying to compare heterosexual couples to homosexual couples. They were never looked at as the same. Homosexual couples, whether they entered into a contract or not, were discriminated against. Hence, why they felt the need that they had to legally marry in order to bring about equality in their situation. You can't compare a contract or a binding agreement between a man and a woman because it was not recognized as the same with homosexuals. They weren't even considered people, basically. Their unions, their relationships were not looked upon
Everything was up for cancellation. And so what I'm saying is we.
What you're saying is they were denied their constitutional rights.
Because they were not a part of the Constitution as a union.
Don't need
right.
to be. As a citizen of the United States of America, I have the right to enter into any contract or agreement with any other free citizen of this nation, and a judge should not be allowed to break that.
Let's come to the real world, you constitutionalist. Contracts are broken in the United States of America every day by law-abiding citizens. Contracts are broken. They are not enforced. We have to be honest about that.
Try enforcing a lease.
So let's not try to bring the Constitution into something where we know the Constitution is not going to back you up.
But it should.
But it doesn't. So let's bring it to the real world and the real problems that we have today. Because that Constitution is only as good as the people that are going to stand behind it.
Right.
And remember, we have marginalized everyone in the Constitution
right.
so that they're not a part of
right.
it in totality.
And we don't demand that it be enforced.
But you can't demand that it be enforced because it's unenforceable.
You have to have money to fight that battle. A lot of these people didn't have that money or the knowledge to fight that battle.
That's not entirely
true. Well, the knowledge
true.
Is no excuse.
But see, this is the issue. I don't have, again, I don't have the resources to fight for the Constitution because as a lump sum and as a lump total, they danced upon the black man so hard, you can't convince him that he's free. You got to be honest about that. We got to quit thinking that, oh, all I got to do is say I'm free now and walk down the street and I'm going to get what I'm deserved because the Constitution is going to back me up. Because that's a constitutional lie. It ain't going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to say that it would, but it ain't. I can carry the Constitution in my pocket, show it to the policeman when I go through wherever, when they pull me over just for the heck of it, and say, this is my constitutional right to go down this road. All I'm going to do is get another ticket. And then what they'll tell me is, this is called disorderly conduct.
Exactly.
I got another question.
Hold up, Diva. I've got to. You got to convince white people that all things that they would love to say are happening in the world today, especially in America, are not happening for everyone. That's real.
Then we need to work together and make sure it happens for everyone.
Can't make it work together because they keep you and I apart.
Well,
and
we're sitting in the same room.
But you will not acknowledge and will not understand it until we tell you. You have to really understand this. You got to go out one. Hold on, Pianki. You got to go out one day and dress up like a black man and see how you're treated. That needs to happen. So that you can really comprehend this equalization that you would love to say a part of the Constitution of the United States of America, how much of a fallacy it is. Because being black in America, as great as we want to think we're equal, the day that you really think that you're equalized is the day that you fall on your behind and slide. And
So gay is the new black?
Gay has never been the new black.
Just being anything other than white in America.
Because they can still assimilate and not be gay.
Yeah.
But flaming gay is another thing.
But they still can. They can still hide that. You can be as buoyant as you want to
no.
as a gay person.
No, they can't hide that.
Diva, some of them can't hide it.
They tried. They can't hide it. What'd you say, Pianki?
Yeah.
Wasn't it two ways? Isn't it two things going on here? Don't we have those affluent gays that took this upon based on the being able to transfer assets? Then you got everybody else who came in on the coattails.
Pretty much.
Gay couples on average have a higher net worth than straight couples.
They have a higher net worth. You got hold on, South, but you have to understand also, they are everywhere. Remember, they're married, they're senators, they're presidents, they are your teachers. They are hidden into the fabric of America everywhere because not all of them are flaming. Not all of them are tweeny. Yeah, hold on, South Carolina. They're in the military, right. And they've been around and they understand the mechanisms of how to make these things work across all races. Go ahead, Sal.
Listen, this is what's getting me. How can somebody that's gay say that they've been denied their constitutional right when they have been here? You cannot compare your gayness to my blackness. You cannot do that. You have had the right there just like everybody else. The only difference is when you come out of the closet, that's when your problems start. But as long as you're in the closet, you're okay. You're just like everybody else.
That's not true. South Carolina, that's not true. Even if they stay in the closet, and when I say in the closet, you know, it's kind of hard to be in the closet at Thanksgiving when you come home with the same man every Thanksgiving and every holiday,
right.
And you live together, and you want to call yourself a roommate.
Right.
Well, see, that's another problem, too. That's another issue, Tracy.
I mean, even your 9-year-old.
Hold on, Diva.
Here's another point, Tracy. What you also have is that gays want you to accept them.
That's the issue. They want you to normalize it.
That's
don't
the
get
issue
me wrong.
I have.
They want you to normalize it, but we have allowed this to happen. I'm not, as I said, you know, and I will use this analogy until I die. If I am living with a man, and he comes and we live together, and my mom knows we live together and wherever we live together. If I've got to stay in our house for any number of days and it's overnight, I can guarantee you it won't be in the same bedroom. And she will treat him right. She will feed him. She'll let him go to the bathroom upstairs. She'll let him walk in the front door. She will be, you know, nice to him. But there won't be any humping in the bedroom in the back with
he'll
her in the
sleeping.
House.
He'll be sleeping on the couch.
Well, how's
he'll
it going to be if her son?
In the basement.
How's it going to be if this played out with her son?
That's what her son's also. My mother's, I mean, we weren't, she's not having it. But my brothers cannot bring home they chick on the side and think they're going to be in the back bedroom.
No,
even
I'm
if
talking
they have
about
a kid
their male, their male, their male lover on the side.
They're still not going to be in the
That's
same
right.
room.
That's
because
right.
you're going to respect
I don't think
she
let him in the house.
She's going to let him in the house. She's going to treat him right. We're going to treat you right. We're going to feed you. We're going to clothe you. We're going to love on you. But we ain't going to condone what you do is right.
Right.
Listen,
we're just going
to
tell you.
We are trying to turn something that is 100% unnatural into something that is normal. Something that is, to do this goes against science, and it goes against God. It goes against nature.
South Carolina. I agree with you. I agree with the spirituality of this. It is abnormal. It is not normal, and you can't call it normal. But what I'm saying
is
hold on. But neither is me fornicating, even if we ain't sleeping in the same house. See, we need to call a spade a spade. Sin is sin.
No, we're saying normal.
Hold on, fornication. On every level, no matter whether you're married and whether you are too heterosexual or homosexual, it's all wrong.
Right,
and
that's one thing
normal.
For the Christian church. You are right about is we got a bad habit of picking and choosing which sin is sin, because the same preacher that'll do a sermon on the evils of drinking won't say a word about 15 trips to the buffet line.
Oh no, but I'll give you this one. We have to ask this one. You can't sleep with the woman on who's playing the piano who's not your wife called adultery, but you want to preach against homosexuality. Both of them are wrong.
Right.
Right. It's the same sin.
But what I'm saying is we have not treated people. If you choose to sleep with rabbits, that's your business. I still need to treat you with dignity and with respect, whether I like what you do
exactly.
in your bedroom or
right.
not. But the problem
exactly.
that we have now is this is going to the Supreme Court talking about marriage. But we have to take the onus upon the church as well as upon the nation that the reason why we're here is because we did not defend people's rights when they needed them.
Well, let me ask you
exactly.
another question.
I agree.
That's
hold
the
on,
point
hold
I'm
hold
trying
on,
to make.
216, your mic is on.
Oh, thanks, Tracy. I just want to say, you know, marriage, the marriage certificate, it's a legal document. It's a legal government contract, and it has nothing to do with religion.
You're
and
wrong.
I want to get that. They're two separate.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not
you're
wrong.
You're wrong. I can prove that you're wrong.
Go ahead.
Because the term came from a Judeo-Christian foundation.
It doesn't matter.
Yes,
this is not a theocracy. This is democracy.
No, no, we're not
talking about where it came
then
from.
I tell you what, then change the whole union system of America and take marriage out completely.
And any two people that want to have a union, go ahead.
The reason why they will not change marriage and the union of marriage inside of our government system is because of money that it makes.
Yep, I agree.
Do two people from Pakistan, are they allowed to marry in our country? A man and a woman from Pakistan? A man and a woman from Pakistan, a Muslim man and woman, are they allowed to get married in our country?
Yeah, but you have to understand.
But they're not Judeo-Christian.
But
they're allowed to get married because this is America, and that's the law of the United States.
It
has nothing
to
do with religion.
They still have the same Old Testament.
What about two Chinese people?
Are they allowed to get married in this country?
How about atheists?
It is not a religious institution in the United States. It is a government institution.
Those are the facts. Call it an institution of union.
Then that's what you have
to do.
There you go.
But they're not going
to
do that.
I would go along with that.
You're defending the word marriage is all you're doing.
I would totally take marriage and make marriage, the term marriage, a completely and totally religious ceremony and a religious union.
All right, so what it should be is everyone should have a civil union.
Absolutely.
And then if you want to get a little married in your little church, you can go right ahead and do that. But the legality of it should all be called civil union, even for a man and a woman.
That's not what they're asking for.
That works for me.
But you're just talking about the thing.
Marriage is because we have not changed the institution of marriage. You have a lot of paperwork and red tape tied to the word marriage in that legal certificate. That's the only way they're going to get their rights established. That's why they're fighting for it.
Exactly.
That's not the only way, Diva. Diva, it's bigger than Diva. Diva, sweetheart, it's bigger than that. Now I know it's bigger than that.
I know that in the end, it's going to come down to you can't tell me that
it's
my
bigger than
you
that.
Can't say it's wrong and you can't say it's a sin. I know it's going to come down to the I can see the can of worms opening behind this whole argument, and that's why I'm saying it should have been done some way back when. But I need to ask another question, Tracy.
Go ahead, Bianchi.
It's not between man and God. It's between the government and man.
No, it's not.
I was going to ask, and Sticks can chime in on now. Being the fact that a male can leave his assets, a male can be entitled to the spousal benefits of another male rather than a female. So what kind of imbalance is this going to cause with physical systems?
You're opening a big pile of worms.
Now
you've got two males, married males, or two married females, and one's drawing Social Security off the other one.
Right.
So how much more of a burden is that going to put on?
Nothing.
It's not going to put on any more of a burden. What if it was a man and a woman?
Gross.
It's the same exact thing.
No, it's going to burden them.
You people are prejudiced against gay people. Hold on, wait a minute, dude.
Well, we have a right to be prejudiced against gay people, long as we don't break your civil rights.
I'm not gay. Don't say you're civil rights.
Well, gay people.
You a perfect example of how it's going to hurt things.
Okay, but you
say
something honest there.
Say you retired from General Motors.
All right.
Before, when you died, if you weren't married to a woman, your pension stopped. Now, if you're married to another person of the same sex, now your pension is going to go to that person. So you've just added an additional burden on every pension plan in the country.
216. I'm not trying to be discriminatory of it, but you got to understand the weight that it's going to take on top of the pension programs and on top of the Social Security brokenness and Medicare brokenness that we already have. You got to be honest about that.
There are very few gay people. I got another question.
You got too many people coming on the system all at one time.
I got another question. If you in your public school, if there was an openly gay teacher, do a parent have a right to tell the principal that they don't want their child in that classroom?
No.
What about an openly gay?
No.
What about an openly gay gym teacher that goes into the locker room?
No. And as a matter of fact, we have inside of our school district here, we've got a transgender that will come to school as a male and a female depending on what day it is.
Well, I would take my kid out of this school.
You think all gay people are pedophiles? That's what you just basically said.
No, that's not what I said.
You think gay people are pedophiles. Basically, you did.
I wouldn't. No.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
You don't let the male gym teacher go into the girls' locker room.
That's right. I wouldn't want a female gym teacher going into the male locker room either.
So you're going to start asking all teachers what kind of sex they like?
I think you got to. I think that you should, yes.
You
ask them if they're married.
Alex, your mic is open. I mean, you have to understand. Like I said earlier, what happens right now, we're having problems inside of the school districts because girls are making out with each other and clowning in the locker rooms. So it's no longer a safe place.
So you want gays to have their own bathroom now?
That's not what
that's
what
I'm
saying.
I don't think black people should get married. How you like
well,
they're
going to have to have their own facilities when they go to prison.
But
I don't think black people should be allowed to get married.
Black people are not a choice.
Because they're a drain on the system.
But black people are not a choice. Black people are not a choice, and that is a problem. That is a problem, 21.
Gay is not a choice either. You're born that way.
You're missing my point. You can go down the street as a man, and remember, homosexuality is who you want to sleep with. Who do you want to kick boots with? How do you want to have sex with? And who you're sexually attracted to? I promise you, I can't change my spots. Not even Michael Jackson could, and he tried.
The gay people can't change it either. It is
they come to school dressed as a female one day and a male the next. You don't
remember, transgender is a part of this.
Well, I don't know about transgender.
Hold on, Diva. Bisexual is a part of this. What do you mean? I was born bisexual. I can go either way I want to go. And whichever feels good, do it.
Yes.
Come on now.
Well,
that's lust.
Transgender and bisexual is a sexual preference.
All right. So could any of you is anyone here gay on the line? Anyone?
No.
Okay, is anyone here bisexual on the line?
No.
I'm not. Bisexual?
Go ahead and ask another question. You keep on, maybe you get a yes.
I would like to address that as a mother of a daughter, if she was taking gym, and the female gym teacher was gay, I would not want my daughter teaching gym, because just as I wouldn't want a man gym teacher.
You got a right to have your daughter placed elsewhere, Diva.
I agree with you.
But here's the thing, because if I got to worry about a male taking advantage of myself,
we already agree with you, Diva.
I worry about a female taking advantage too, if that's her preference.
We already agree with you, Diva.
I've got a daughter that way, and I'm going to tell you something. Trust me, she was not born that way, dude. She grew up with me for 17 years, and then all of a sudden, she decides she wants to go that direction. No, she was not born that way. She did not grow up that way. It was a choice on her own.
It wasn't anything you did. It wasn't her upbringing.
This has nothing to do with upbringing. It's a sexual choice. It's a sexual choice that I am attracted to. So I choose this way. I choose this way because remember, I can become asexual and not have sex at all, even if I'm attracted to the same sex or a different sex.
There was a guy down here that was arrested for buggery 7 different times.
What is buggery?
For those of you who don't know what buggery is, buggery is when you have sex with a horse. The man got arrested 7 different times, okay? He kept saying, I can't help myself, I love the horse. Okay?
I believe it.
That's called mental illness.
Listen, South Carolina, would you ever have sex with a horse? No, you wouldn't. Would you ever have sex with another man? No, you wouldn't.
No.
But why don't you? Why? Because you weren't born that way. You were born to like girls, just like I was. But for somehow you think gay people just can just switch and choose, but you can't, and I can't. But for somehow you think they can.
Well, I know gay people that switch and choose. Have you ever heard of
that term? Prove me wrong. Make that choice, South Carolina. You can't. You can't.
Have you ever heard the term down low?
I have.
Well, that's a male that has a wife at home, female wife, and he goes out and gets with men.
Yep, and that's not you, and it's not me, and they were born that way.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
I believe that this is Alex, everybody. Hey, I hope everybody's doing well this afternoon. I'd just like to say that for the most part, I believe that, or I think from just the evidence I've seen, is that homosexuality is a choice for the most part. I mean, there may be a few people who have something that they are born that way. If they are, then it's a genetic defect. There's been some instances where they've shown like their brain chemistry was just like really whacked out, and so but it was a medical disorder, right? That's wrong. But most people, it is a choice, and it's influenced through by culture, but one thing I want to say though is that when it comes to all this, I mean, I think the best thing is the libertarian stance. I mean, when it comes to these schools and all this stuff, this is why public education simply cannot work. You cannot make a one size fits all for everybody. People should have the choice to put their kid wherever they want to put them, and people should be able to organize however they want to provide education for their own people and or their own interest groups the way that they want. There's no way that you can solve all these problems with public education, which is why my kids aren't in it, and they never will go to public school. Because this is insane. I mean, if you just listen to this conversation, you cannot sort this out. Government is the problem. Get your kids out of these government schools and take your freedom back. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, but if you go to a private school and they want to hire a gay teacher coming there, what are you going to do?
They're already doing that anyhow, so it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. Openly gay teacher that dresses like a male one day and a female the next day.
Listen, they're already doing that. That's nothing new.
If you have a private school, though,
no,
I mean, let's say you want to send your kid to a Catholic school. No Catholic school is going to tolerate an openly gay teacher. So
what is going to happen to all these rules these sexual harassment rules now? Or these rules that you know.
Yeah.
If you do this, then you're going to open up a whole new can of worms, man.
Yeah. Suppose I open the door for you, Tracy, and Six is coming along. He gets pissed off and sue me because he's the mommy between a same sex family.
They're doing. I mean, that's already happening. Because remember, you already have this going on. The issue is there's a lot of things that I don't think we've looked into. And I'm not talking from a discriminatory point of view. I'm just talking about from a fiscal, from a social. As I said, people can do what they choose. The problem is they're trying to get me to affirm that what they choose is natural.
No, they're not.
And they're,
that's not what
yes,
they're trying
they
to do.
Yes, they are.
They're just trying to get a legal document, just like any.
No, they're not.
They will try to do that. I have plenty of conversations with homosexuals, and all I hear is, if two people love each other, then what's wrong with it? And I have to go into explain to them what's wrong with it. I don't have a problem with you entering into a relationship, but I am going to tell you it's wrong, and don't try to tell me I'm wrong for telling you it's wrong, and that shouldn't come to sense.
That's true. That's the basis of the most arguments.
Right. So what is wrong with it?
So let's
get down the nitty gritty here. What is wrong?
Well, what they do in their bedroom, we have no. I don't care.
Exactly. So what's wrong? What is your beef with it then?
The beef is that they're trying to normalize something that's abnormal.
The beef is that they're going to go to school and they're going to tell my children that it's normal. That's the beef.
And don't say they won't do that because they had the Fistgate conference in Massachusetts, where they had elementary students in workshop asking the question about should we swallow and about sticking a fist up in the vagina and your anal tract. Kevin Jennings, who's the safe schools czar for Obama, he started this company, this organization called Glenn Singh.
Well, anyway, gentlemen, how are you? I had to add this to the conversation. Somebody that's gay does not have to practice being gay. Somebody that's black cannot stop it, because that's what you see, that's what you're going to get. I don't care whether he acts white, acts Arabic, acts Alaskan Eskimo or whatever, he's still going to have black skin in this country because of all the things that happen. That's how you're going to be treated. Now, if you're going to give somebody a right because of how they like to have sex, that's what this is based on. It has nothing to do with anything else. They want to be married, one, because they want to go ahead and make this thing seem like it's normal and natural for them to be this way. It's not normal and natural. At the very least, it's some type of a mental illness or some other type of illness, but it's not something that's normal. I'm sorry. It is not normal for you to go in and out or to rub two of the same things and think that it's going to produce anything, because it doesn't. By nature, your body is designed to do one thing, procreate in that area. So that's what it's for. It's not for anything else. If you have a union that is not intending to procreate, I didn't say that you couldn't have kids or somebody has a physical condition. If you don't have the ability to procreate, not because of any, you know, internally, but externally, then that's a different story.
This you isn't cannot, about sex. It's about a legal document.
It's about sex. It's the only
no,
thing
no,
it's about
not.
Is sex.
No, it's not. And it's about a legal document.
Well, let's get a legal document then. Let's give them some civil unions, because they are more or less a small corporation, okay? Recognize them as small corporations. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, we've heard that argument before, that it's just about a legal document. I don't know your caller's name, but you're wrong. I mean, the reason why we know it's not just about a legal document is because when homosexuals first said that, when the gay movement first said, well, we just want these rights or to pass on, you know, I can get my partner health benefits or when I die, you know, they get and all this stuff. It was like, okay, well, how about a civil union? But then it didn't stop there, because they wanted more and more, because it never really was about that. It was always about trying to, you know, basically impress what they said, an abnormality onto American culture. Because if it was really just about rights, nobody is saying, well, we don't want you to have your rights, you know, here's civil unions and you can have everything that everybody else has. But it's not about that. They're trying to change our minds about something and impress it on us and through the mainstream media. And that's what people are up in arms about. And so I just think it's disingenuous to try and label it as anything else, because they've been offered all the rights in the world that everybody else has, and even more than what heterosexual couples have, but you know, but it's never been about that. It never has been.
Precisely, and you know, I know gay people. I just talked to a gay friend not too long ago who had lost his partner of 40-something years, and of course he's grieving, and it's how he feels toward that person. It is what it was. But the thing is I don't know what makes them definitely – well, I do know, but I can't bring that out here because nobody's going to accept what I say. But the thing that I'm telling you is they want us to call this thing normal so they can feel okay about themselves, because they are conflicted with them themselves.
They want to be treated equally is what
it is. No, they want to call what they do normal, and it is not.
It's
that's
beyond
plain and simple.
It's
beyond legal.
I agree with you. You're right. They do. They want it
it's
to
beyond
normal.
Legal. It's beyond legal equality. They want social equality too. And
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. People have a right to associate or disassociate with whomever they please.
Yeah, that's a constitutional right. I mean, we have the right to organize freely. And when you organize freely, I mean, what people don't understand is that when people have freedom, true freedom, they also have the freedom not to like you. So and sometimes it's hard for us to understand that. We say we want equal rights, and black people are often guilty of this as well.
They
we
are.
Say we want equal rights, but we don't and freedom, but we can't. Well, a lot of times we can't accept that. Well, if everybody has freedom, then some people are free not to like us. As long as we have the same opportunities and freedom to move about, acquire capital, do business, take care of our children, protect ourselves, you know, self-defense in our country the same way as everybody else, as long as those things are maintained, which they're not, which is the real problem, but as long as if those things were maintained, then nothing else would matter. But, you know, people get caught up in, well, you know, they think that equality and freedom means that other people have to like you, and
well,
it doesn't.
Yeah, that's a very good summary.
Yeah, if you force me to associate with somebody I don't want to associate with, you're going to actually make me end up hating them more than I probably did when we started.
Sure, exactly. Absolutely, which is one of the reasons why you have the institutional racism here in America that we have. But still, it doesn't matter. Everybody has to look at this thing for what it is. And I don't know, Tracy had made a statement about why marriage. See, marriage does not belong to secular society per se. It is an institution that was given by what we believe as God, okay? Now, that's for those that don't believe in God. That by what we believe in God, between a man and a woman, and they are to procreate and refill the earth, the Bible says. That's where we get our authority for the word marriage. Now, when you want to take my word for marriage and apply it to something that God calls wrong, whether, you know, however you said it, he didn't say, you know, this, that, or other. And thank God you're in the New Testament under grace, because in the Old Testament, just like you will see our Muslim brothers and sisters do over in the Middle East, when somebody is found to be gay, they stone
them
to death.
They rock them to sleep.
Yeah, they rock them to sleep.
Yep.
Rock them to sleep. Sleep, you'll be shaming yourself.
Yeah, you should. Same
with
right.
Actually, I got that phrase from a preacher friend of mine.
I believe it. He ain't right either. But I like them. I like you both. But you know, no, they're not playing that. And that's probably what you're having going on over there in France right now. They're having
hundreds of thousands of people are showing up. They're having riots.
Right. Right, because the courts had okayed this law. Now, they're going to tear that place apart, because I'm telling you, they have a whole lot of Arab Muslims
yeah.
in that country now,
yeah,
from all over.
Don't forget, Ahmadinejad said, we don't have no gay people in Iran.
They said, what are you doing with your homosexuals? Is that? We don't have homosexuals.
We don't have homosexuals in Saudi Arabia either.
They killed Nazi gay over there. Yeah, you know, another call, you know, I respect what Justice said, but, you know, this disdain for homosexuality, should I say same-sex contacts and behavior, came out of cultures, of people's cultures. Say, no, that's not going to go on. So you got many facets. You have several facets going on that do not condone that. And the thing is that I think they all should be respected. No law,
absolutely.
No judge should disrespect a person's inner feelings, as long as it don't violate your civil rights.
If it neither breaks my leg nor picks my pocket.
Listen, let's check this out. I just told you about a friend of mine that was homosexual and lived with somebody for many, many years. Well, that person and I have worked on projects together having to do with music. Now, this person is one of the nicest people in the world that I've ever met. I would help him in a minute with anything that he needed to have help with if he needed help, because he's that good of a person. He's a good person, okay? He is not to be disrespected by anyone. He should be respected. And this is where we are losing it, because some people actually hate these people because of how they feel. Now, I'm not going to say they can't help how they feel. I'll just say that it's a very harsh battle for them if they try to leave it, because it's just like being taken over by something that really ain't you, but it makes you do stuff anyway. it's sort of like a spirit, okay? Let's put it that way. It's sort of like that. But I can't tell people that don't believe in stuff like that it's a spirit, because they're going to, boy, crazy. You know,
consider this, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion and homosexuality, extinction of the human race.
Extinction. But we allow, you know, but we're allowing this, and that we're allowing that behavior. So that's crazy behavior. I don't know. Two of you guys are blocked. I don't know if you guys were blocked on purpose. 518, you are alive and alive and well here.
Well, I got to get out of here, but I really enjoyed the conversation, and I know
all
I
right,
want
Phil,
in,
okay.
I think we probably, I think stations like this probably offer the best logical explanation about what's all going on and leave the emotions out of it.
Well, absolutely, and we need to, because hatred has no place in making any policy.
Right.
And that's where we're not coming to and getting to in this United States. We've been polarized by two sides of anything, and our politicians are to blame because they allow the polarization for the purposes of their own.
Oh, yeah, they play us off against one another in order to maintain their own power base.
Absolutely.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Diva.
Do you understand, other than Proposition 8, which case is in front of the Supreme Court right now? Because you said something, Jeff, and you guys are saying that it's not about rights. The woman who had her lesbian lover died, and she inherited the property.
Mm-hmm.
And they were married. Well, they were married, but California did not recognize their marriage. She ended up having to pay $363,000 on that inheritance, whereas if her marriage was acknowledged in California, she would not have been penalized because heterosexual couples, well, heterosexual marriages do not, it's not considered an inheritance per se. So they
What's
don't have
your question?
That penalty. So my thing is, you're saying it's not about rights, but whereas in fact it is about rights, because that's
no, it's about money.
Diva,
the Supreme Court right now.
Diva, civil union.
It's all about money, Diva.
Not all civil unions are acknowledged.
Civil unions are just like any corporation in the United States. If you make an agreement as a corporation, and it's taken to the clerk of courts and ratified X, Y, and Z by witnesses, this, that, and all, it is a contract, and you have it. That's
some
what you do.
Some hospitals do not allow same-sex couples.
I don't care. They're not
going
to take marriage that belongs to the God I worship. They're not going to take his institution without me protesting it anyway.
I get what you're saying, but you can't sit here and say it's not about rights.
I didn't say it's not a right. I did
Diva,
not say that.
Diva.
Yes, you did.
I did not say that. I told you this is not what they're fighting for. They're fighting to make it called normal.
It's not about civil unions. It's about money.
It's about money.
I want to know what Jeff thinks. What's wrong with having them want it to be normal? Why is that bad?
Because
what is it that you don't like about gay marriage?
Let me put it like this. We understand
it's not normal.
Is it normal for that young?
Well, that's not our business. Who cares?
Can I finish?
Why does
it's
it bother
like
you?
It's putting
so
a square peg into a round hole. It don't fit.
Why does that bother you, though? Why does that bother you?
They want to take marriage, the institution of God, and turn it into something very vile to God. I'm not standing for that. No.
Because as soon as you say it's normal, then you're going to be telling my children in your public school in the public school system that it's normal.
Right. And they're going to tell me.
You can't pass a sin.
Then you
that's
can, right.
why I have a problem.
They did that first, and that's what you voted for. You know, that's
no,
what I'm saying.
No, it's not illegal to call it a sin. You can't be charged.
Yes, it is. It's called hate crime.
No,
yeah,
which is why I've always been against hate crime.
I have friends, Diva, that have already gone to court for that in Canada and in California. Don't tell me what it is. You don't know. You're in your part of the world.
Well,
you live there.
Canada
don't tell me what I don't know.
Canada is not a part of America.
Canada and California isn't either, I know. But
California is not, and I guarantee it will not be upheld by the Constitution.
It was upheld in California. He cannot say it's a sin and preach in public. He must not. That's what they told him. So now, once again, you voted for this craziness and for the people that support it. So
okay,
just you go along with it.
Move on.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Yep, I understand you now. So your opposition is religious, and that's understandable.
It is absolutely, because you're calling an institution that God created for men and women, not just Christians or whatever. He created for men and women the institution of marriage. And so, therefore, when a man and a woman come together and make vows to each other, it is a marriage. It is a blood covenant. It is a contract in blood. So therefore,
I agree with you.
Okay, see, that's where I'm going.
According to that, it can't be broken except for immorality. But according to our legal system, our courts, it can be broken for any reason. I'm confused.
It to God, it doesn't break just like that. So you have to ask whoever the Christian is or the believer, if they go by a secular standard, then they're going to answer for that. Okay,
yes.
They better go by God's standard.
And just call her, just so you understand, nobody in this room wants to stop gay people from transferring property.
Mm-mm.
We don't care. We don't want. We want them to be able to have their medical power of attorneys. All of those things, we have no problem with them being allowed to exercise those civil aspects of our society.
Right.
It's just the word marriage you're against.
Yeah, calling it a marriage is a big problem.
Right.
Again, so if they call it a marriage, you'd be all right with that.
I don't want to have edge in there any kind of way. I want to be civil union.
Right. And if they want to make it for every couple, if you want to have two ceremonies, or if you want to have two deals where you have a government contract for every couple that's cohabitating,
right,
and make marriage a strictly religious thing, I would be just fine with
it. I would too.
I think we agree. I'm glad we ironed this out.
Hey, Jeff, before you go.
Hey, Jeff, before you go. Marriages aren't acceptable.
Anyway, go ahead, Sal.
Before you go, Jeff.
Listen, here's the thing that's kind of getting me, and I'm getting really aggravated with it. Just because I hold a view that says I don't believe that gays should be able to get married, that doesn't mean that I'm a homophobe. That doesn't mean that I'm prejudiced. That doesn't mean that I hate gays. It doesn't mean that. But that's the way
what does it mean then? What does it mean then? What does it mean then?
It means
I don't agree with
it. I know what it means for Jeff. But for Jeff, it means it's religious. What does it mean for you, South Carolina? What does it mean then?
It's cultural for me. But Jeff, let me say something real
quick.
Hold
on, Bianchi. Hurry up, Sal.
Mine is number one. It's on a natural basis, from nature and religious. It's against the word. It's against God, and it's against nature.
No, that's true.
Do we think that Roberts is going to come with a butt like he did it with Obamacare?
I hope not.
Yes. I think that this
he's got a homosexual niece or something that's going to be in the courtroom. So
So what I'm seeing here is that Rob, to me, Roberts, the fixer, was in when I heard them on his confirmation. And they asked him some specific questions about this and about war. But we're going to have to get out of here because they said 90 seconds. And you know we got to go when that happens.
If he's got anyway, he should recluse himself then.
Yeah, well, he ought to. I agree. I agree with that 1,000%. But anyway, afternoon with Tracy and friends. We're here getting ready to get off the air here. And we will talk to you probably tomorrow. Tracy will be back tomorrow. I will not be here. I'll be rolling my way to pick up my little daughter from school.
All right.
And God bless you all, and we'll see you. See you next time around. Afternoon with Tracy and friends.
This is Henry Nemmons, inviting you to shop Nemmons IGA on the square in Canfield, the Lincoln Knowles Plaza, or Creed Street in Struthers. Nemmons IGA meets our USDA choice. Nemmons Bakery makes all cakes from scratch. The very best.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with